And welcome back to the Exotic Pet Collective. My name is Richard. Thank you so much for joining me again. I've got a very exciting guest today. Some wild stuff has been happening in the tarantula and invert hobby. And this guest was on the forefront of just some really cool exposure. And I'm really excited to talk to her and for you guys to either meet her for the first time or just, learn about this and this really cool story that she's got and just about her in general. So, but before we get to that aspect, before we get to the heart of the podcast, I do want to just kind of give you a few announcements. On July 23rd and 24th, I will be at the Tri-State Exotic Animal Expo and Wonders Oddities Expo. It's a long name, but they're going to be at the West Virginia State Penitentiary. It's an old haunted penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia. That's July 23rd through 24th. And so if you want to come out, there's going to be all kinds of reptiles, amphibians, tarantulas, also, you know, like skulls and taxidermy and shrunken heads, and they'll even be like psychics and tarot card readers, or a paranormal podcast will be recording. There's just a lot of cool oddity stuff and a lot of cool exotic animal things. So if you're in the area, come out to Moundsville, West Virginia at the West Virginia State Penitentiary for the Tri-State Exotic Animal Expo. Then on August 2nd and 3rd, I will be right outside Minneapolis, Minnesota at Snake Discovery. August 2nd, we'll they'll have the entire store closed down, and we'll be recording doing the enclosure build-off challenge. So there'll be me and 9 other YouTubers, and we'll be doing that all day Tuesday. But then on August 3rd, they're going to open up the store. A lot of the YouTubers are going to be sticking around, and we'll just kind of be like filming some videos at the shop, as well as doing meet and greets and just kind of hanging out, getting to know each other, getting to know anybody that stops in. So if you're in the Minneapolis area or want to make the trip, that's August 3rd at Snake Discovery. And then August 26th through 28th, I will be in Orlando, Florida with over 100 other animal YouTubers and TikTokers, Instagram influencers, even some TV personalities. Anybody that creates content for animals, there's over 100 creators, maybe more by the time this actually happens. And it's at the Caribe Royale Resort in Orlando, Florida. It's AnimalCon USA. There won't be any live animal sales there. It's essentially just kind of like Comic-Con, but or like VideoCon, if you're familiar with VideoCon for YouTube. Just a bunch of creators getting around each other, hanging out. Anybody from the public can come. There'll just be like Q&A panels, discussion panels, talk about all kinds of different topics. Everything from like how to take care of specific species of animals, about, you know, researching them in the wild, but also stuff about like, you know, creating content for YouTube or TikTok or Instagram. So there's all kinds of interesting conversations and panels and discussions that'll be going on. There'll also be meet and greets. I'll be hanging out there with Tarantula Cat, Alex from Tarantula Haven, Mikey from Ants Canada, Petco from Dark Den, bunch of other creators. So if you're in the Orlando area or want to hop on a plane, I think it's like $100 for like a round trip ticket, at least from like Pittsburgh to Orlando and back. So, you know, usually Orlando's got some pretty cheap flights. So if you want to come, just go to animalconusa.com for information on tickets and lodging and all that kind of stuff. Or if you just want more information in general. So that's animalconusa.com. And before we introduce the guest today, I just want to break real quick, give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's podcast.
And that is Arthropod Ambassadors. Now, if you're not familiar with them, they take a unique look at our tiny neighbors that wear their bones on their skin. They aim to spark interest in bugs and support the well-being of arthropods in our backyard and around the world. They're spreading this educational inspiration through arthropod art, the mobile bug zoo, informational YouTube videos, and invertebrate hobby networking. They also work with edible insects, specimen preservation, pest management, and beekeeping. From compost-enhancing roly-polies and alien-like top predator mantises, to the honeybee alchemist we partnered with long ago. Arthropods come in all shapes and sizes and are waiting to teach us more about the earth that we all have in common. If you're interested in becoming more familiar with mantises, jumping spiders, assassin bugs, roaches, or a variety of other critters, head over to arthropodambassadors.com and check out their content on which species they have available. You can also find a collection of videos covering nature walks, pet mantises, resin art, and other invertebrates on their YouTube channel, also called Arthropod Ambassadors. And you can follow them on Instagram to stay updated on new educational content or species that they may have available in the future. So a huge thanks to Arthropod Ambassadors for sponsoring this podcast, and I will leave a link down below in the show notes so you can check out their website and all their other social media.
And thanks again, Arthropod Ambassadors, for sponsoring this podcast. And let's just get into the show. We got an amazing guest. She is, you may know her by Shanae. That's her name. It's probably not what you know her by. You probably know her by her handle online, and that is Slightly Venomous. I think I first came across her on TikTok, and from there started following her on Instagram. And then from there found out she had a YouTube channel and started watching some of her videos. And actually, I got together. I was hired by Tarantula Cribs a while ago to film a commercial, like a social media commercial for their treehouse enclosures. And I filmed the whole thing, wrote the script, filmed it, edited it together, did the voiceover myself. And I like modified my voice, pitched it up, add some other effects to try and make it sound like a cute little spider. And it just sounded creepy. It sounded like an alien or something. And I didn't like it very much when I submitted it to Tarantula Cribs for their approval. I don't think they liked it either. They were nice about it, but they were kind of like, that voice kind of sounds creepy. So I was like, I need to hire a voiceover actress to do the voice for this poor spider because I'm really butchering it. So I wanted to practice what I preach. I'm always talking on these podcasts about how we should support each other in the tarantula or in the exotic pet hobby. Dealers and people that make enclosures, they should hire photographers that are in the tarantula hobby or videographers or, you know, advertise on the platforms of different content creators, try to keep that money flowing around inside the hobby. So I didn't want to just go to Fiverr and hire some random stranger. And when I started going, you know, scrolling through TikTok and Instagram and trying to figure out who would be best, of top of the list, the first name that came to mind was Slightly Venomous. And I'm going to share with you real quick the commercial we recorded before I bring her on, just in case you haven't seen it. It was a lot of fun to do. I think she did an amazing job doing it. So let me see if I can get this up here for you real quick. It was fun, and I hope she enjoyed doing it. We'll find out in a little bit. But if you're not familiar with this commercial, I will show it to you right now.
A beautiful jumping spider who deserves a beautiful home. That's why I'm glad my human friend got me a Tarantula Cribs treehouse enclosure made from thick, crystal clear acrylic with plenty of cross ventilation and a sliding front door that magnetically locks. My new home keeps me safe inside with plenty of room to jump around while providing me the ability to easily see the world around me. It comes with either a clear or solid white background and is available in 3 different sizes, so it's perfect for all my juvenile and adult cousins as well. If you want to show your jumping spider friend how much you truly appreciate them, upgrade their home to a Tarantula Cribs treehouse enclosure and give them the house of their dreams.
Very, very, very good. She did a very good job. I just took myself out of the podcast. Okay, very, very good. She did a very good job. I was definitely impressed and thought she did. She nailed it as well. Did the consumer? I'll just say Tarantula Cribs. They really liked it. They gave the approval and it has been running online. So that, in case you didn't know, that was Shanae. That was Slightly Venomous. For those that aren't familiar with her, she makes videos, makes content about tarantulas and beetles. You know, pretty brown recluse spiders. Says she even has some leeches, which is kind of creepy, but you know, so are spiders, I guess. So I can understand. Not my cup of tea, but I understand why people would find them fascinating. So pretty much any kind of misunderstood animal, she creates content about them. She loves to share animals with other people and help them to understand that even the creepiest crawlies deserve respect. She was recently featured on America's Got Talent, where she shared a variety of cockroaches with the celebrity judges Simon Cowell, Sofia Vergara, which is probably not how she pronounces that, and Heidi Klum. So please welcome to the show for the first time, my friend Shanae Slightly Venomous.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the podcast. So glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So we before we get start talking about America's Got Talent, because I'm sure that's what everybody wants to hear about. I've since you posted like a teaser on Instagram, I saw it was like you on the stage, and I remember looking at it. I was talking to Tarantula Cat actually in like a private chat, And we were debating whether or not that was Photoshopped or not. I was like,
really?
Maybe she's like, you know, maybe she's like teasing some video or something and Photoshopped her in there or something there.
I'm not that good at Photoshop.
And she's like, I don't think she'd do that. I don't think she'd pull a Coyote Peterson. Because it was like right after, I don't know if you follow Coyote Peterson, but he put out some Instagram post about, made it sound like he found a Bigfoot skull in Canada and smuggled it through customs. And people were getting really upset, like, oh, he's clickbaiting and lying, essentially. You know, she's like, Kat was like, I don't think she would do that. And I was like, you're probably right. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. And it was cool. You were on there. But before we get to that, I would like to know, and I'm sure people listening would like to know just kind of how your journey began. Like, what was your first invertebrate or exotic pet? And how did that lead to creating content?
Yeah, so it actually started for me in a really specific instance. I was always an animal lover growing up. I loved animals, always had like dogs and cats, and I had a hamster. But I didn't really know about exotic animals or know that it was even an option to have them until one day I went to the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles. And I actually went into the museum. I was just browsing around and I see that there's like this extra exhibit you can go in. It's like $8 and it's like a spider exhibit. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like you probably like walk in and, you know, you see some enclosures with some different spiders and that, you know, cool. Yeah, I'm at the museum, $8. Let's do it. So I, you know, get my ticket. As I'm getting ready to enter this spider exhibit, I find out that it's essentially a big greenhouse with those huge like Malaysian orb weaver spiders.
Oh, wow.
And they're just out. There's no enclosure. There's nothing. And this is the Natural History Museum. Like they're just in this giant greenhouse. So I'm like, do I want to do this? Like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, am I into it? Am I not? I don't really know. So I'm like, whatever. I bought the ticket. Let's go. So I go in and I see, like, I come face to face with this huge orb weaver, like the size of my hand, just like there. And I was fascinated. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, how cool is that, that this exists? Like, you know, an average person, just an average girl, like I'm a huge girly girl, you know, I didn't know a lot about spiders or, you know, anything like that. So when I saw it, I was just so amazed. And the whole ride home, I'm just searching, Googling, like, what spiders can I have as pets? Like, how can I get a spider? And you know, a really easy spider to get your hands on is tarantulas. And I did stumble upon Exotic's Lair, as yeah, a lot of us does. And I debated for a few months over placing my first tarantula order. And finally, after months of research, I pulled the trigger and I got my first tarantulas. And that's kind of the gateway that led me down this path to where I am now. So
awesome.
Yeah, it all started with that specific instance.
Very cool. And but what kind of bridge they get? Like, when did you decide spiders are cool, but I want to start creating content about them?
I knew kind of from the beginning content about them because I felt such a strong like passion instantly about them.
Yeah.
And I felt so drawn to them. And I had always loved content creation. And it's content creators that really got me into the hobby. So it's like Exotic's Lair, and I quickly found Kat, and then I found you. And so I just kind of, I felt so drawn to them, and I just loved the content that they were creating and you guys were creating about them. And I knew I wanted to contribute to that and be a part of that. So I just, after like a year or so of being yeah, really like shy and nervous and like being scared to even announce that I had tarantulas because I thought it was like maybe people would think I was weird. Mm-hmm. I pulled the trigger and I started making content and now I will never turn back.
Nice. And just to like kind of rectify my memory of the situation, where did you first start making content?
I started on, well, I had an Instagram, so I teased a little, like I posted a little bit of content on there. But I would say I first did TikTok.
Okay.
I think TikTok and YouTube started around the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't sure because I felt like I first saw you on TikTok. But
yeah,
my memory is so screwed these days. Sometimes it's hard to tell. But yeah, so you were making content for TikTok. You got a good following on Instagram. You got your YouTube channel going. And I can actually just for those watching on YouTube, if I'll have all of her links or, you know, screen names kind of scrolling along the bottom if you want to give her a follow. If you're just listening to the podcast, I'll be sure to link all those social medias down below in the show notes or in the description. So definitely go give her a follow. Check out her content. Got some very cool stuff. And it's like she said, it's not just tarantulas. She got
all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I have everything you could ever imagine. I've got cool beetles. Like he said, I have leeches, which is something there's not a ton of content about. I just picked up some really cool camel spiders. I have everything your heart desires.
That is centipedes. Very cool. So what would you say is your main focus when it comes to content creation? Are you mainly focused on like TikTok, Instagram, Reels, photos, YouTube?
I like YouTube the best. It's my favorite platform, I'd say, because I like sitting down and just like really feeling like I feel like with YouTubers, you really build a connection with the YouTubers that you like. And I really enjoy that aspect of the platform. So I'd say YouTube is my favorite. I don't have the biggest following on YouTube. I have a bigger following on TikTok, but there's just something about YouTube that I find really personal and I really enjoy about that. But TikTok is fun too. It's just the little short videos, you know, it's less connection that you build to with each other, you know, between the followers and the content creators. I feel like you get to create more of like a bond on YouTube. So
I like YouTube a lot myself. That's my favorite place. But you know, and part of that's just because I just can't kind of figure out TikTok. I can't seem to connect with an audience there for some reason. I'm not sure.
With TikTok, the less you try, the better it works, I find. Like, I'll just post like the silliest little snippets and they do really well. It's like the more production value the harder you try, the less it works.
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, so do a little experiment and post a couple just like random little snippets and tell me if I'm right.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I will definitely try that out. But it's one of those like, I don't even know how to describe it. Maybe it's arrogance, but I'm like, I don't want to put out content that it's not as good as it can be. You know what I mean? Like I'm not even like, as far as YouTube's concerned, I don't produce as high a quality content as I want to. So it's like, I'm constantly trying and just the thought of grabbing my phone and just holding it and filming something and posting it, just like it, something in my mind, just, it drives me crazy. I'm like, I can't do that.
Well, yes, you are known for your high quality content. But so I everything is amazing that you make.
Oh, thank you. I got to stop. People keep saying stuff like that on the podcast. It makes me uncomfortable. And I'm afraid people can listen to me. Like, the only reason he asks people on the podcast is so they can say nice things about him.
No, he did not tell me to say any of that, by the way. It's all genuine.
All right. So what I'm kind of interested in is how you went from creating content online to getting involved with a nationwide international TV show like America's Got Talent. Like, how did that even begin?
Well, it started with, I was always a fan of America's Got Talent. Oh, you can see my cat in the background. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I always was a fan of America's Got Talent, and I love watching audition episodes so much. It's like my favorite part of the show, just seeing like the unique people and what they bring to the table and just how there's so many different interesting people out there who just have crazy talents. And I thought, you know, why not try to see if I can use the platform of America's Got Talent to introduce the invert keeping hobby to the world, because I think that this stuff is just so interesting. And I think that what we're doing is just so fun. And the more people that find it, I feel like it just brings so much joy to people. And I just find that, you know, it's so fun to introduce people to these animals, especially animals like, you know, creepy crawlies, like cockroaches, that people are really scared of. And I feel like it really just kind of like liberates them to be exposed to these animals and release their fears of them and things like that. So I kind of put this little plan together to, you know, try to audition for America's Got Talent with my pets and see how far we can make it. Because I figure, you know, worst case scenario, it might make some interesting television. Best case scenario, you know, maybe we could create an act that is actually, you know, worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So I figured that cockroaches would be the best because they're not very sensitive. Everyone said that I should have brought a tarantula on, but as we all know, tarantulas are very fragile, and to risk, you know, to put them up on that stage, like if they bolt, it's like, it could be a really bad time. You know, it's like, I have to take into account safety for the animal, safety for myself, safety for the judges and the audience. So for me, I figured cockroaches were going to be the best route to take with that because they're very hardy, very durable, and they are likely to move somewhat.
Right. And I know from my own experience, you get a lot of noise going on, you know, with the crowd screaming and the music and all the lights and movement and vibrations. Tarantulas aren't going to do anything. They're going to curl up into a little stress ball and just stay still.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, my animals are like my babies, and I don't want to put them in a situation that's going to be harmful for them. So cockroaches it was, but it was just kind of this plan, this experiment that I just did to see, you know, what will happen. And I, you know, there are many rounds of auditioning leading up to the live show. So I not only had to audition for the executives and the producers and the casting agents, you know, to get to in front of the live judges. So apparently they also agreed with me that it was going to make pretty good television. Yeah. So it all just kind of fell together, and it was amazing. I had no idea when I did the first, just a Zoom audition sitting right here in front of my animals, I had no idea that it was going to make it this far. So that's kind of how it happened.
So you're already out in California, and I'm assuming this was filmed in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what was that? So you auditioned on Zoom first.
Yes.
And you got passed on to the next round. And so you had to travel to LA to, like, did you audition in front of people, or was it straight in front of a camera?
Well, for the first rounds of audition, we're all on Zoom. So leading up to the live audition in front of the celebrity judges and the audience, which the audience is real. There is thousands of people sitting in the audience. So leading up to that, I had only been on Zoom. It's very meticulous planning as they plan for your act. So, you know, they had to find out what I needed, and I had to have like the right size table and the tablecloth. And I remember the tablecloth was a really big thing because when we practiced, we had a black tablecloth, and then like they realized the camera wasn't picking up the roaches. And so everyone was going, "We need a tablecloth. We need a tan tablecloth." So that was kind of funny. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." But it was, so leading up to that, I had only been seen on Zoom, but I had done three Zoom auditions leading up to the live taping. But the live taping, it's exactly what it looks like. Like, it's a huge, huge audience, thousands of people in, it's at the Pasadena Convention Center. It's just packed.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then I was actually right in front of the judges' table, which was a bit intimidating. So I'm actually right there with my roaches right in front of Simon Cowell, Heidi Klum, Sophia. Like, I was right in their faces with my roaches. It's exactly what it looks like. There's no, like, it's intimidating for sure going on there. The taping and the cameras, and there's cameras everywhere and cameramen with the huge rigging and, you know, so it's full production value. Very so that cool. was, I'm just there with my cockroaches, just surrounded by all these talented people. Like, do I deserve to be here? The imposter syndrome kicks in.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So did you get to meet them? Like, did you meet the judges beforehand, or is like the first time you're talking to them is on stage in front of thousands of people and millions of people on camera?
Yep. Yeah, that's my first introduction to them. I got to talk a little bit to Terry Crews, who's the host, behind the stage, but I did not reveal to him what I had. So no one knew what animal I was bringing until I actually popped them out of the enclosure. So the judges didn't know. Terry Crews didn't know. A lot of the crew didn't know. So I walk out. You'll see if you watch it. I walk out with this little box, and they ask me, "Oh, what do you have in the box?" I'm like, "Oh, it's an animal you've never seen before." And it's funny because they cut that part, but Simon says, "I know what it is. It's an eel." And I said, yep, it's an eel. And then Sophia goes, don't eels need water? And I said, eels need water? But they cut that out.
Oh.
But I know, I was like, I thought that was funny. But yeah, so it was cool because they didn't, no one knew that I was going to be popping roaches out of my little container until the music starts and I walk down from the stage and I just start taking out the roaches one by one. And that's when the screaming starts. So
yeah, it was weird watching it. Because you posted it's going to air. I think I missed it. I was power washing the house and like realized, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I missed her on America's Got Talent, but it was like up on Hulu the next day, or maybe I watched it on YouTube or something. So I checked it out. And it seemed like initially, the audience turned on you immediately. They were like, oh, boo. And they were not happy. But then by the end, they seemed to support you, which I thought was kind of cool, but I don't know how it was in person, but it seemed like they were backing Simon there.
It was, I mean, it's very difficult to, I understand that, you know, it's like, it's controversy. You want it, for television. So I'm not upset that they got, you know, they booed and stuff. Of course, with the judges reacted so strongly. So it kind of like triggered the audience to react as well. But I think they kind of realized that they were being a little harsh. Like even the judges realized that after they were, you know, did the X's and they're booing and freaking out. And Sophia got a shoe, which I was kind of like, okay, Sophia, we don't need to get a shoe out. Like the whole point is that I'm here to show you that they're not so bad. But I think that it was definitely a bit hard to take all of that in. But I think the judges and the audience both realized that they were a little harsh on me, that like I was just here to have fun, and they kind of lightened up. And by the time the judges kind of, their feedback was more like, oh, they just didn't do enough for me, which I totally understand because it was the middle of the day. You know, cockroaches are sleeping.
Right.
It was the middle of the day and I had been transporting them between two containers, and they had been in that small container because they pulled us to go to the stage. So they had been in that small container for some, like maybe like an hour and a half or so. And it was the middle of the day and it was just like, they weren't really up to moving very much. So, you know, you can't blame the cockroaches. So, you know, I think they were a little harsh, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's television.
Yeah. Trying to get nocturnal animals to move around during the day can be very difficult.
It's a bit tricky.
And I feel like a lot of times these Hollywood producers and showrunners and stuff don't really understand invertebrates at all.
No, but you know, what made me really happy was that a lot of the crew told me that they thought I was one of the most respectful animal handlers they had, that they had most of the animal handlers behind the stage would be very harsh on their animals, be setting really high expectations, you know, like not so nice to their animals when they didn't perform the way they wanted. And they were just like, wow, you're so like the way you're just, you respect the animals and you're so like, you don't care if they do it right or wrong and you're not mad at them. I'm like, no, I'm not mad at them. Like, you know, it's their animals. Like I can't be mad at them. Like I can't expect them to do anything. Like they're just doing their thing. So that made me really happy that they felt that the crew like noticed that I was like really respectful to my animals.
That's awesome. You're setting a good example. That's very cool.
Exactly. That's what we have to do. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but two or three times now, I've been reached out by some producers from Fox TV doing something similar to what you did. It's like stupid pet trick kind of like competition. And they've had me audition with jumping spiders. They've had me audition with tarantulas. I think even one with a snake. And they always are like, well, make it do a trick. And you like train it to jump on command. I'm like, it's a no, I cannot do that.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think this is going to work out. So when I saw you doing that, I was like, you're much braver than me. Cause I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. Like you guys have these expectations that I'm going to be able to train this tarantula to jump on command on TV in front of a live studio audience. I was like, that's not going to happen. Maybe you should find somebody else. So I was like, she's brave. Like I would have done that, but yeah, you had like these, courage. Yeah. You had this whole kind of obstacle course built
I did.
For your roaches. Did you build that yourself? Did you buy it? Like, where'd that come from?
Well, some of the stuff I built for myself, like I had some little toilet paper rolls that I used like metallic tape. My mom does like hula hooping tricks. So she has all this cool tape that she uses for her hula hoops. So I wrapped up toilet paper rolls in that and I made a little tiny hoop and I wrapped it with the tape for them to jump through. And then the remainder of the obstacles were actually hamster toys.
Okay. I was wondering about that because it was like a little kind of like teeter-totter seesaw thing and a little house.
I had to assemble them. So I did that. But yeah, they're hamster toys. Perfect for cockroach shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool, I mean, the roaches didn't seem to really want to participate very much, but they were like, you encouraged them to go up their stairs and stuff. That was very interesting. And the coolest thing is, like, you got your name out there to millions of people. Have you seen any kind of like just surge in followers on TikTok or Instagram or anything like that since it aired?
No.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I noticed they plugged me as like with my full name, which is Shanae Kloss. That's my full name. Like, I'm not trying to hide it or anything, but they didn't tag me as Slightly Venomous, so I think people didn't really know where to go. So that was kind of a bummer. Like, I went on to a couple of the YouTube videos and just posted like, hey, this is me. If you want to see more content, you know, this is who I am. And I went on and like tagged one of my YouTube videos with like my full name. So hopefully people will be able to find me now. But no, I really haven't gotten much of a surge of following, but that's okay. Like, The intention was more to just like show the world what, you know, hobbyists, invert hobbyists do, like what we like, who we are, and just that we are normal people and that we are, I mean, how normal are we? You know, we're not normal, but, you know, just showing that like we're people and we like these things. And, you know, there are so many people that love roaches and tarantulas and spiders and scorpions and all this stuff. Like, it's just there's a ton of us out there, and I just wanted to show the world or America like that we are here and that that's we're doing cool things. So it's not about me and about me getting the following. Like, that's fine, you know. If I probably gained a couple and I'm grateful and I appreciate them, so I mean, you know, it's not about that.
And it's still early. I mean, it just aired this week, right?
Exactly. You never know what can come of it. Like, I mean, I'm here on this podcast right now, so that is super exciting. And just the support that I got from the community was really, really amazing. Like, just a lot of people reached out. Like, you know, Arthropod Ambassadors, the sponsor, they were really helpful. They reached out. They were really nice and like encouraging to me because I've got a ton of roaches from them. So they're like, oh, you're a roach customer. So that was
the roaches are famous now.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. It's, I mean, I remember when I first started my YouTube channel, I was following these guys on YouTube who only create content about making YouTube channels, essentially. Like, they kind of you know, walk you through all the all the steps to getting it set up and how to do thumbnails and titles. And I got a really good piece of advice from one of the guys. I'll shout him out. Is Nick Nimmin, I think, was the channel. And he does some really good information on YouTube. And one of the things he said is, you never know what piece of content might go viral. Like, you could have 100 subscribers or you could have 1 million subscribers, but, you know, you never know. That one video that's for whatever reason is going to get picked up by the algorithm, really connect with people. And you want to, you know, especially when you're small, you want to build your channel when you have 100 subscribers, as if you had 1 million subscribers, as if the next video could go viral. Cause if you don't have everything set up, you could miss that opportunity, you know? So it was like, you know, make sure that you've got your website, you've got your banner, you've got all your information in the about section. You've got your YouTube and your Instagram and your TikTok and your Twitter, and everything's all kind of linked together. And, you know, so that way, if one video goes viral, even if it's like not on YouTube, but for whatever reason, it goes viral on Facebook or something, people could click it or they could search for it. And all of your social media will already be integrated into like the Google Analytics algorithm. So like, it'll be very easily accessible. So that's it's a shame that they didn't use Slightly Venomous anywhere.
So it's like, but you know, it's about, I'm gonna do what I'm going to make my content regardless, because see, the thing is that like, if you give me the time of day, I will talk to you about this stuff nonstop anyways. So it's like, I think my coworkers and my family are tired of hearing me just constantly talk about bugs. So yeah. Now I have the YouTube, so I can just do it and talk out loud. And if anyone follows, if anyone likes it, fabulous, you know, but if no one likes it, if I put out a video and, you know, no one, I rehouse my, you know, Black Widow and no one watches it, I'm like, well, I was going to rehouse her anyways. And if one person watched along and enjoyed, then fantastic, you know, like right. It's my hobby and I'm going to share it and do it anyways. So, you know, it's like, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life or whatever. So. Right.
That's kind of how I started on YouTube. Was just like, I'm just going to make videos that I want to make. And if they connect with people, if they help them, that's cool. Unfortunately, exactly. Over time, especially like since I started relying on that for income, spend a lot more time trying to figure out beforehand what people want and try to make videos that are going to do well. But when it comes to like the podcast, like we're recording right now, I record with the assumption nobody's going to listen, you know, like maybe a handful of people are going to listen.
Sorry if I'm moving around and there's a fly.
That's okay. But I kind of had a rude awakening this week. I just recently released a podcast with Nate, who's also out in LA
from Micro Wilderness.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we went off on some tangents on that podcast, talking about one thing or another. And a lot of time, I mean, it's just a conversation that we're having. And I don't know, my short-term memory sucks. So sometimes like I'll have a conversation, I'll even go back a week later and edit it and upload it, but not remember what all was said. And people start like sending me messages talking about, oh, I didn't know you were in Kodiak, Alaska. It's like, how the heck do you know I was in Kodiak, Alaska? Like, you talked about it on the podcast. I'm like, what was I talking about on an invertebrate podcast that came up? Like, I don't remember mentioning that at all. You know, so it's like creepy things like that. People are telling me personal information about myself. And I'm like, where did you hear this? So it's like, it's sometimes it's to my own detriment to say things. Maybe I shouldn't have put that out there. But it's because I do this assuming no one's going to listen. And sometimes nobody listens, maybe 100 people listen, but other times tens of thousands of people are listening. So it's hard to figure that out.
Yeah. You never know. And exactly. If you just do something that it's like, you were going to do it anyways, or you're passionate and like you enjoy it, then you've gained something out of it. And if two people gain something else out of it, that's fantastic. That's amazing. That's two people that wouldn't have seen it before. And now they took their time out of their day to consume your content. So it's like, I'm grateful for every single person. It's like numbers are numbers. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, any of us would like to, you know, go big and get a viral video and, you know, start making a bunch of money. But at the end of the day, it's just like, that's what I love about the invert community, is that people are just so passionate about what they do. And I feel like it just adds so much to like all the content creators that create about these type of animals are just so genuine. And that's what I love about it. That's what like really drew me to the community. So yeah, we're grateful for every single follower we get.
Definitely. And unfortunately, when it comes to the podcast, I am much more selfish than you are about the content creation. Because honestly, I'm not doing this to make money. In fact, doing the podcast costs me money. And I don't really care if anybody listens or not, but it's mainly just my way of meeting people and having conversations, because I'm not very good at talking to people, even like at expos and stuff. Like, I don't know, I just my personality, I'm not very outgoing and more introverted than extroverted. So I'll just stand on the wall, like leaning up against the wall for hours. And if somebody comes up and talks to me, I might talk to them, but this gives me the ability to like actually meet people and have, you know, create friendships, or at least talk to somebody for a couple hours a week. You know, that's not this doesn't have eight legs, because my tarantulas do not talk back.
They really don't. Yeah. You'd be surprised. Or, I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't be surprised, but people would be surprised how many times you're asked things like, do you play with your tarantulas? And do you hang out with them? I'm like, yeah, I do talk to them, but they certainly don't talk back. Like, you don't play with them. They're not like playful animals. So no, I know what you mean. Yeah. I spend a lot of time talking to things with exoskeletons. So, you know, it's fine.
it's weird, because when I was in college, when I got my first tarantula, I played, not so much played with it, but when I would study, I would let it out of its enclosure and just kind of let it crawl around on my chest and stuff. I'm laying on the couch, reading, studying. But that was more just to kind of freak out my roommate. I had a college roommate, and if he opened up the door to the, because it was a tiny dorm room with two of us in there and two beds, and he'd see that spider out and just turn around and walk back out. So it was like, that was kind of my way. But, you know, I remember going to the pet shop because my tarantula hadn't eaten in a while. So I put her in a critter keeper, brought it back to the pet store. I got it and was like talking to the guy, and he was explaining to me, well, it may be in pre-molt. And I was like, well, let me pull it out and let you see it. He like freezes, like, whoa, you touched that?
Like, oh gosh.
Yeah. He's like, I wouldn't be handling that. It could bite you. And I was like, really? I mean, I've had it for like a year and hasn't done anything. But yeah. So you kind of like put that fear of God in me. But then, you know, I started discovering more things online, you know, like finding arachnoboards and stuff like that. And was like, oh, okay, this isn't nearly as scary as that guy made me feel like it was initially.
Exactly. Yeah. I think like the whole handling, not handling controversy is, you know, more geared towards the safety of the tarantula, you know, because it's like, if it bites you, you know, people, everyone thinks they're going to be tough and strong if you get bitten. But imagine, you know, if you're holding it and it bites you, you have to not react. And I mean, I've never been bitten by a tarantula. I actually got bit by my velvet spider.
Really?
And that's my only spider that's bit me. But it was like, it was so funny because I think it was like, it must have been an accident because I was just holding my velvet spider. I was actually making a TikTok and I was holding it and I felt like this little scrape and I was like, what was that? And then all of a sudden I felt the little fangs like,
oh no.
Bite. And I was like, excuse me. But it was so weird because it wasn't, I'm like, I don't know what the motivation was there. Like, because it was just sitting there and it just like bit me. And I'm like, oh, what? I thought we were just, you know, vibing here. Guess not. But
this thing I'm on is alive. I wonder if it tastes good.
Yeah, I feel like it was just like testing me out to see if I was in fact food. Like, oh, this might be a giant mealworm. Like, I'll just try it out.
Yeah.
It was like the funniest thing. But yeah, nothing bad came of it. I didn't get any, I just got like a teeny, teeny bit of itching, but like nothing crazy. So yeah, that's my one bite. My one spider bite.
I have yet to that be I've bitten. Taken. Maybe one day it'll happen, but I had a few close calls from doing something stupid, but never have yet to be bitten by anything. So
okay.
Knock on wood, which I don't have any around me. So we'll just bad luck. so
you I'm sitting on wood. So I'll knock on the wood for you.
All right. Thank you. I thought my desk was wood and I'm like, oh, this is probably not wood at all. This is like metal and some weird plastic countertop thing. I don't even know.
It's okay. I got it for you.
And then everything else is bricks and glass and steel.
We won't jinx you. We won't get you bitten for, but hey, it would make a good video.
Possibly.
Got my first tarantula bite.
So
if you make it, you can shout me out.
I will. Yeah. So you are making content and like, I don't want to like get political or anything like that, but I know just from watching, you know, some people's reels on TikTok, I mean on Instagram and some people's TikToks, females in general, there seems to be this, oh, I don't even know how to, like this masculine culture that sometimes is very critical of female content creators in the invertebrate or in the snake space. Have you experienced anything like that? Like just hate from random people for no other reason than being a female in the hobby?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, it's a real thing that happens is that there's a lot of people who think that women who like anything that's male dominated are doing it like for attention or something, which is so silly because like us women in the hobby, like, it's like, why would I spend all my money on all of these animals and spend all my time on them if I didn't truly love them? Like, why would I be doing that? Like, if I went that far out of my way for attention, then I got another thing coming. But yeah, I have noticed some of that. I'm lucky that I haven't experienced a lot of hate, but just like simple things that like, if you wear a dress, they'll be like, oh, you're trying to get attention. It's like, no, I'm a girly girl and I really like wearing dresses, you know, like. And I also have tarantulas. Like, it doesn't mean anything other than that I like wearing dresses and I like tarantulas, you know? So I think that it's lightening up. I know it was like really serious that there was a lot of misogynistic issues going on with, females in the hobbies, but I think it's lightening up. I think that they're starting to realize that it's like, it's not just a masculine thing. You know, it's something that a lot of us enjoy. And it's like, we are putting so much effort, so much time, so much money into this that we must truly like it. Yeah. So, a little bit here and there, but and people say, one of the things that does really bother me though, is like when I post up the roaches, and especially it's the roaches, people say that like, I must have something wrong with me to like them, that I must have some type of like, I must be unhinged or, you know, have some issue because I'm a woman who like has cockroaches. So I've noticed a little bit of that, but I just hope that, you know, we're slowly changing people's minds as they see how much we really love these things. I mean, that's the best we can do.
Yeah. I know I've said this before as well, but I as a male creator, I don't have women in my comments, you know, chastising me for creating content because I'm a man.
Exactly. But
I have some female content creators that they send me screenshots of comments that people leave or messages that they get. Some of them are like, you know, just very sexually exploitative. Some are just misogynist and just nasty and mean. And it's like, essentially, I know one of them sent me a screenshot that, you know, some guy like was just railing on them because they were wearing a tank top. Like, you're only wearing that tank top to get views. And like, no, it's July. It's freaking hot. Like, yeah, that's why I'm wearing hot. A tank top.
And if I want to wear a tank top, let me wear a tank top. Like, exactly. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things that it seems defeating, self-defeating to attack content creators within your own hobby or your own niche for no other reason than their gender or, you know, how they look or what, you know what I mean? Like, it's, if somebody's out there doing something harmful and is giving everybody a bad name, then yeah, speak up about that. But just because you don't appreciate, you know, the way somebody looks or, you know, what sex they are, that seems like a ridiculous reason to go attacking them. But, you know, that's just my point of view. But I mean, there's gatekeeping in any hobby, you know? I mean, I get crap all the time from the old, I don't want to say old guys, because they're probably not much older than me, but there's some, you know, but they're probably 10, 20 years older than me. And they're just like, oh, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I bring that up quite frequently. I am not an expert. I don't breed. I don't have a degree. Like, I'm just researching stuff online and repeating it back to you guys or just sharing my own experiences. Like, that's it. I'm not publishing scientific papers here, so don't hold me up to that standard.
I know. Yeah, I do notice that there's some gatekeeping, and especially in the Facebook groups, you know, it happens where people who try to ask like beginner questions get like chastised for it, which is unfortunate because it's like, if someone wants to get into the hobby and they're asking the questions, you know, we should be here to answer it for them and help them become better keepers rather than, you know, putting them down for asking a question. So, you know, I noticed that there's like some gatekeeping towards like beginners in the hobby, but we were all beginners at some point. And it's like, you know, people will ask you silly questions like, oh, I got my tarantula, can I keep it in a fishbowl? And, you know, you want to be like, no, but you know, you have to be like, okay, let me help you out. You know, maybe a fishbowl isn't the best thing to do, you know, or maybe don't put a sponge in the water dish, like be nice about it. Just, oh, you know, maybe take the sponge out of the water dish. You know, you don't need that. Like, it's just harboring bacteria, you know, like maybe just, you know, pop it out. You don't need it. Like, you're fine. You're fine though. You know, it's like, I do notice some of that, but I noticed that in the content creation and like end of things, I feel like people are a little more respectful from what I've seen. I think.
So you feel like
from my experience,
other content creators are more respectful to content creators.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Just because like, you know what you're going through, and you know, it's like, of course there's going to be negativity. Like, I recently got like, someone commented something that like, it made me like feel kind of bad, but in a weird way, someone said that they didn't like that I called my animals a collection because that indicated that I thought of them as inanimate objects and I didn't care about them. And that like kind of hurt my feelings because I was like, Oh my God. Like, that made me feel really bad because, and they didn't say it in like the nicest way either. They weren't like, oh, hey, you know, I kind of don't like that you, you know, call them that. Is maybe, you know, you could think of something better to call them. They were just like, wow, I can't believe you just consider your live animals a collection. Like, I thought you actually cared about them. And that like really like stabbed me in the heart. Cause I was like, these are my, this is like, I love them, you know, yeah. Like they mean so much to me. And so it's, sometimes it's the little things that affect you. And I'm like, for some reason that one got to me. Yeah. Like it wasn't even like hate. It wasn't like necessarily hate, but it's like, it's more like when they're indicating that you don't care about your animals. Like that's what's hard to right. take in for me. When people like,
yeah, yeah. Like, I get that comment a lot. Like, how dare you call them a collection? Like they're living yeah. animals. I'm like, okay. Or sometimes I'll refer to them as a specimen. And like, that is your pet. You shouldn't call them a specimen. Yeah. I'm like,
it's like, but that's it
the
is,
term that you like, use.
Yeah. It's like, that's a scientific term. And like, that's technically what it is. Like you're a specimen too, you know?
Exactly.
Like we're all specimens. Like it's fine.
One person but... was like, you're dehumanizing your tarantulas. I'm like, they're not humans, dude. Like, I don't know what you want. Maybe you should have said you're de-tarantulizing your yes. tarantulas. That would have made yes. more sense. But yeah, I don't understand where you're coming from there. But yeah, I get yeah. that a lot. In fact, I've gotten that don't refer to them as a collection thing. Like they're not license plates or silver spoons or coins. Shot glasses. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, so okay. But I did find out, I did some research and a group of tarantulas is called a cluster, I think. That okay. was one thing you can refer to them as, or a clutter. So it's like a
clutter.
I got a clutter of tarantula. My tarantula clutter.
Perfect. Yeah. I think we should officially change it to officially just call our collections clutters.
Yeah. Because I mean, if you look behind me, it looks a little cluttered right now.
Same. I have a lot going on. I'm like, what do I even have down here? I've got like things I'm working on and things yeah. I have some roach molts here. I have some camel spiders I just unboxed. It's always chaos, you know, yeah. when you're a keeper, there's always something going on.
Yeah. If you like look behind me right now over here, you can see I got a bunch of tarantula cribs enclosures just laying on the floor.
Oh god.
There's nothing in them. I mean, some of them are set up, but there's no live animals in them. It's just, I've been filming, doing some photography. Product photography for tarantula cribs and filming a few, not so much commercials, just like footage for their social media. Like yeah. they hired me to do some filming that they could use for reels and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I love tarantula cribs. They're like the first company that took a chance on me. So
oh, yeah?
I appreciate them. Yeah. I just like made a video, on my own. Just, I like purchased stuff from them and I made my own video just like reviewing them and they saw it and they actually like talked to me and that made me really happy. Cause they were, yeah, like the first company that took a chance on me as a creator. So I really yeah. respect them. I really like them. So shout out.
Yeah. And you helped me with that. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you helped me with that commercial that I did for them.
Yes. That was so fun. It's so funny. Cause like I do, one of my things I do is acting. So to be like reached out and to like be able to combine, acting with my hobby was so fun. It's like, I've done it a couple times. I'm actually working on a short film in a couple weeks that I'm going to be supplying bugs for. We're going to be using bugs in a short film. Well, not necessarily just bugs. Okay. There will be arachnids too. People, that's another thing that people will come for you if you ever so much as indicate that, you know, spiders or bugs, you know, they'll come for you. So just so everyone knows, I know, but, so yeah, getting to combine like the hobby and the acting is so fun. I was so honored to do that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I mean, can you talk about it at all or is it like hush hush while it's in production?
No, I can definitely talk about it. It's every year there's a film festival called the 48-hour Film Project and it's so fun. So basically you have 48 hours to create a film and submit it. So they give you, starts on a Friday evening. They give you like your genre you have to do. And then they give you some key things you have to include in the film. And then you have 48 hours to turn in a film. And last year we actually did a 3D film using my bugs. And that was really fun. We used cockroaches and a mantis and a vinegaroon, actually. We used them for a 3D film, which was amazing and so fun to work with other actors with, like, because I had them holding the cockroaches. So it was so fun to work with the actors and like get them used to handling the cockroaches. That was so cool. And so we're doing another one, another 48-hour film project. That was last year, so it's been a year. And mm-hmm. so we're doing a really cool post-apocalyptic theme for our film. And so we'll be using bugs in the film. So I'm going to get to use them with the actors, get the actors used to the bugs. And I just, it's so fun for me to combine those things and just teaching them how to safely handle the animals. And, you know, some animals will be handled as others will not. Like I already talked with the director of photography and I let them know that if I bring like tarantulas and scorpions on set, they will not be handled. They can be used for like moving shot, like shots only where they're like, you know, walking or, you know, as opposed to cockroaches can be handled. Non-venomous animals like, you know, like the vinegaroon can be handled. I just got a new tailless whip scorpion who is huge, who I'm going to be bringing, and probably the camel spiders. So it's just so fun to combine. Like I would love to bring the centipede out too, but he is so fast, you know?
Yeah, they're crazy.
So yeah, getting plunging into the centipede life was it's a plunge.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole another level of excitement and anxiety. So are these movies available for people to like watch on YouTube or streaming on a website or anything like that?
Yeah. So the first film is available to watch. I can send you a link to include if you want.
Sure.
There is a link to watch that one. It's in 3D. So if you don't have 3D glasses, it's not going to look super cool. But and then this one will be available at the end of August. This next film will be available. So keep an eye on like the social media if you want to see that film.
Okay, cool. And you'll post links on your social media as well.
Which... Yes, I will. Yes. Yeah. So keep an eye on if you want to see when that post-apocalyptic bug film. They had talked about like maybe making the cockroaches like look huge, like they're attacking us and stuff. So yeah, stay tuned if you go ahead and follow if you want to see that when that film comes out.
That is awesome. I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, it should be really fun.
But yeah, it was fun bringing you on that project just because it was such, I mean, I think I sent you the original version. It was like just I think I can even kind of do it
with my voice right now. I don't know if it'll let me. But it was something like that. And I was like, this is not cool.
Yeah. It's like, it just sounds creepy. So I was glad that you were willing to come on and do that. And you did a great job. So like, it was awesome.
Thank you so
and
much.
Tarantula Cribs
so
loved
fun.
It. He was like, he asked me where I hired the actress. And I was like, you know her. it's slightly venomous.
Yeah, sure do.
it was funny because I named the spider after my granddaughter, Rosie. And every like she likes watching that little short video just because the spider's also named Rosie. And as soon as it says like, hi, my name is Rosie. She's like, no, I'm Rosie.
Oh, how starts cute. Arguing. Oh, that's it's adorable. I love that.
Yeah, she is cute. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And I think that went well. And hopefully we can, you know, work together in the future doing something like that.
Oh, yes. That would anytime be awesome. You need a little feminine high-pitched voice, I'm here. Awesome. I'm here to voice any spiders or, you know, scorpions or, you know, I could voice them. I could be a mantis, you know, whatever you need.
Yeah. There is a YouTube channel I love and I can't remember the name of it because it's like an old YouTube channel, you know, like back before YouTube was really big. People just use like a screen name, like just like a, you know, they're like a gamer tag or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And it's like Frank something 01 or I wish I could remember. I should probably look it up. If I want to shout it out, I should at least get it right. But it's he does a lot of videos on just different animals. And some of them are pretty strange, you know. I'm talking as I am scrolling through YouTube.
Okay, yeah, I must know.
But yeah, it's really cool because he mixes like very heavy scientific information with comedy. So I mean, I guess one of the reasons I really like it is maybe it's Z Frank. Could that be it? I don't know. We'll just search that real quick. Like it has Z Frank 1.
Z Frank 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to look that up.
I'm going to share it on the screen for anybody that's like watching. I just got to figure out how to do that, but it's cool because I mean, he does some spiders. He does some, there's one on a beaver. They did one on the ogre face spider, pigs, octopus. I'm trying to remember what else is. It's got a lot of really cool stuff. But here's his website or his YouTube channel.
Yeah, let's see.
There you go. Frank.
Okay.
Perfect. Z Frank 1. Got almost 4 million subscribers. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't know if I can like play any of this without it causing problems as far as copyright, but maybe we'll do a little bit. Let's see.
Can do 15 seconds.
Yeah. And technically we're talking about it. So I guess that would be fair use as long as we're not just, just showing.
Yeah.
It.
You're shouting him out.
And I would say, I mean, but it looks like when you scroll back, like he was just kind of doing comedy stuff, like just like, yeah. You know, and then did one video kind of doing like a nature documentary, true facts. That's what they're all like. True facts about the fruit bat. True facts about.
True facts. Okay.
Yeah. So it was really, it's interesting. And he sources all of his videos and stuff from different scientists. So sometimes it's not the best quality or they're really old. But yeah, it's like part nature documentary, part, you know, just, it's just funny. It's just funny stuff. I wish I could
check that out.
Yeah. I wish I could find the one. I could search it. Like, that's all I got to do. There was one on the ogre face. There it is. It's right in front of me. The ogre
this
face.
This is Margaret. Margaret is in the genus Deinopis, in the spider family Deinopidae. In Greek, Deinopis roughly translates to fearful appearance, and therefore Margaret is often referred to as an ogre-faced spider. From Margaret's perspective, however, the creature that gave her that name is a friggin' terrifying giant with teeth the size of her face. She gave him the name Stick Bastard Quad. In any case, you've probably noticed Margaret's eyes right above those two little cute nostrils. Oh, crap, no. Those are also eyes. She has 8 eyes in total, but the posterior median eyes are giant, the largest of any spider. In photographic terms, these two compound lenses have the equivalent of an F number of 0.58. If you don't speak nerd, that means, dang, they see good. Even more impressive, each evening.
So yeah, he's got some interesting stuff.
Oh my
stuff.
Gosh, I have to watch this guy.
That yeah, I
so
love it.
Funny. Oh my gosh, Margaret. Margaret was pretty cute. Yeah. I like Margaret. You have one of those, right?
I did. It did not live long. It's one of those spiders that has a short shelf life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't live long in general, but they don't live long in captivity. I had ordered 2 of them. One arrived DOA, you know, it was like, I took some pictures of it. As soon as I got it, I was like, it looked like its abdomen had ruptured during shipping. Because they, I never really had any other spiders do this, but both of these specimens did. They're in, you know, like the little dram vials, or it may have been like a really small plastic deli cup or something like that. But, you know, they're wrapped in paper towels. And for whatever reason, both of them found a way to kind of like get out of their little entombed kind of safe, and they like wedge themselves in between the side of the enclosure that they're shipped in and the paper towel.
Oh no.
So it looked like one of them had taken a bad bump and it ruptured its abdomen. So I laid that one out on a piece of cork and took some macro photos of it and stuff like that. The other one was doing well. I put it in its enclosure and essentially was waiting for it to, you know, kind of build its web and get that nest, that,
the net. Grabby net.
Yeah. So it built its web. It was suspended, but it wasn't producing its net. And I dropped in a few crickets and it ate one of them. So I guess while I was sleeping, it built its net, captured it, ate it, and then, you know, didn't build another. But I was wanting to get some cool slow motion footage of it, you know, hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept waiting. And then one day I came down to check on it and it had just, it was just on the floor dead, curled up. And I was like, and I talked to couple other guys I knew that were keeping them, and they were like, yeah, you know, I ordered five and only one of them still alive. And it's like, they're kind of like those camel spiders. Like they're really cool, but they just don't do well in captivity. It's
I know. Yeah. I just got some, so I'm hoping they're going to make it to be in that film that I talked about. But yeah, it's crazy how they don't really thrive in captivity. I heard one tip I heard is to put them in the refrigerator at night. Have you heard that?
Net casting spiders or camel spiders?
The camel spiders.
No, I've never heard that.
To put them in the refrigerator at night because the temps, like the desert temps, drop at night. So I might try that with like one of them and see how that does. Apparently they have a very high metabolism.
Yeah.
So that sense. Affects them.
I got
so
one.
So I might try that.
Yeah. I picked one up at NARBC years ago. And it was like one of those, it was a total impulse buy. I got some tarantulas. I think we even got a snake or something. I went to one table. And was doing one of those things that I tell people not to do. Like they weren't an invert dealer. They were a reptile dealer. And they had like a little section of invertebrates. They had a few vingaroons, a few tailed whip scorpions, a few basic tarantulas. And they had, well, they had them labeled as sun spiders. But yeah, they were just, you know, the camel spiders. And there was like three or four of them that they had available. And there, you know, they had some centipedes, you know, but it was like, it was pretty obvious with the exception of the tarantulas. Everything seemed like it was wild caught. And because they were full grown and they were inexpensive. And I really wanted, I was like, I can make a cool video with one of these camel spiders. So I got it. And like the guy I was buying it from, like he recognized me. But I mean, I think at the time I had like maybe 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Okay. You know what I mean? It was like the first NARBC I went to. And, but he recognized me and helped me pick out the one that looked the healthiest, but they're all pretty lethargic, but it was also the middle of the day. So I was like, maybe they're just, you know, not very active because it's not nighttime or whatever. And then,
yeah, like, and probably cold in the exhibit hall.
Yeah. And, you know, I had it back in the hotel room for a day and it just seemed to get more and more lethargic. And then I get it home, I get it set up in an enclosure and I had reached out to a few people and they were like, you know, you want to keep them warm and dry. So I found the warmest spot kind of near a heat lamp for one of the reptiles. And I was like, this is going to be a perfect spot. And then it was like a couple of days later, it just wasn't moving at all. And I was like, it couldn't even have been my husbandry that quick. You know what I mean? Like it was already not doing well and you know, it just never bounced back. And it was unfortunate. And since then I've never gotten one because as I was talking about it, so many people were like, yeah, they're so difficult to keep in captivity and
super.
Yeah. And I saw a tarantula cat had gotten a few, one of the black ones. And
black ones are so cool.
I was so jealous.
I saw one for sale at a local reptile shop, but it's like the price was so high for something that probably wasn't going to live. So I don't know if they're like valued at that price, but it was pretty high. And I was just like, oh man, like I wanted it so bad, but I'm like, you can't do that. Like you can't justify spending on something that's not going to make it. Like, it was such a hard decision. I was like, put your money back, save it. Like you need food. You need to feed yourself and your animals that you have. Like,
yep. I feel you there. Yeah. It's one of those things that it's like, this is just a lesson I've learned over and over again since I've been doing this. Like if you get a true spider or what species like of invertebrate that doesn't do well in captivity, you got to make the content immediately because there's no guarantee that it's going to last a day or a week or a month. And you know, like I screwed up with the net casting spider that I just kept waiting on the ogre face spider to do something cool that I wanted to film, and I should have just been filming it from the first day and just got some cool footage of it moving around. And so I dropped the ball there. Same with the camel spider. I waited for it to bounce back before filming it, and it didn't do it. But then the opposite's also true because I had got a package years ago from, I don't even remember who it was, just, you know, like some random dealer was like, hey, can I send you a box of tarantulas to unbox in the video? And I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. And opened it up, and one of the things they had included was a Deathstalker scorpion, which I wasn't really prepared for, but was kind of excited to get. But I knew as soon as I opened it up, like that scorpion does not look healthy. You know, it's like one of its claws were, you know, its pincher was all kind of like in this weird angle, and it was dragging itself a little bit, and it I can't remember the name, not mitosis, but it had some, essentially there, you got to keep them very dry, and it looked like it had been in a humid environment for too long, and that can, you know, cause a lot of problems for them and get some weird mold or something growing on their exoskeleton. And it, you know, pretty much you just got to dry them out and hope they molt before they die. And
yeah,
did not work, unfortunately.
No. Oh, bummer.
And I have not bought one since, just because I don't want to deal with the backlash from my wife. For no other, I mean, I have some hot scorpions, but none of them with a name like Deathstalker. It's like, that's just inviting an argument.
I know. Yeah. That's definitely like, people always ask me like, how venomous of an animal, like, would you get? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get like that red India scorpion or anything, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it's a delicate balance, and just like knowing which animals you handle and which you don't. And, you know, it's like, I feel like we have the respect for the animals that they require, but it is kind of scary that, like, I went to a bug fair at the Natural History Museum recently, and I was kind of surprised of like the animals. They had some spicy animals available, like at a place where it's not like designed for invert people. So I was a little bit surprised to see like centipedes and things like that. I was like, oh my gosh, should we be selling that here? Cause you know, imagine if someone just picks up a centipede and they don't know, you know, how dangerous they can be. I feel like, you know, it should come with a warning. Cause I don't know. I was a little surprised to see just like centipedes and venomous things just out there for people to purchase. It's like, maybe get like, you know, a mantis or something friendly for starting out.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important that people buy from reputable dealers, because I feel like a reputable dealer possibly wouldn't have, they would know their audience. You know what I mean? Like, they would know this, the people coming here aren't highly experienced. So I'm not going to put the hottest species out on the table.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe keep them behind the table. And then if someone comes up and they're like, oh my God, I love keeping these animals, then you can whip out the hot centipedes and stuff.
Or at the very least, even if they're on the table, they have the knowledge to inform somebody like, hey, this is really fast.
Yeah.
It's venomous. It's defensive. You might want to have some experience beforehand, you know, taking care of this species. And, you know, and I'm not saying that you have to have experience before keeping an old world tarantula or anything. I mean, I know plenty of people that got one as their first tarantula and they're doing fine, but it does help to kind of have, you know, a respect for them and an understanding. And in my experience, I've noticed that it's always the people that don't know a lot about tarantulas that are out. Like, I went to a small, I mean, like small reptile expo, maybe. I paid $5 to get in the door, and there was maybe 10 vendors in there. You know what I mean? It was like, not in a shelter, but like, you know, like you go to like a park, like a city park, and they have like a building that they like rent out.
Like a recreation center.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't even big enough to be a gym, you know, but it was like a room you could rent to like have a wedding reception or, you know, a meeting of some sort and a birthday party, you know, and they just had like tables all around the edge and different dealers. And I am like, we were driving I was visiting my mom, I believe. So my wife and I were driving. It's like a 4-hour drive. We stopped to get gas halfway. And I saw these signs, you know, like they go those little, like, I don't remember, bandit signs. I think that's what they're called. Like they advertise when, you know, vote for me type of signs, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And it said Reptile Expo. And I was like, oh, we should go check it out. And she was a little hesitant, but it was like, come on, we've been driving. I'm tired. We got time. And we walked in. We're like, immediately regretted it. Like, oh, that was a waste of $10. You know, like, there's nothing in here. And we walked around, and a lot of reptiles and stuff like that. One table had a full grown female Losciodora pariabana. You know, Salmon Peak Bird Eater, massive, massive tarantula in like a 10-gallon aquarium, maybe an inch and a half of substrate. You know what I mean? Like, definitely was not kept well. Had a couple pieces of bark in there, an incandescent light bulb on top of it going down. And the poor thing had like webbed up the entire place, because it was just like, I want to burrow and there's no substrate for me to burrow into.
Yeah, it's like, get me away from that light.
Yeah. And they were like, they were selling it like enclosure and all. And it was, you know, like,
perfect.
But it was like $300. I'm like, I want to save this spider, but I don't want to pay that much. And then they had other, like, you know, little, you know, deli cups with tarantulas in them. And all it said was Starburst tarantula. And I was like, oh, what species is this? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, it's a Starburst tarantula. And I'm like, well, there's a lot, you know, at least three or four that could be. And I was like, and the guy was just like, well, I mean, take a look. And I looked, and and I was like trying to look through the deli cup, but it was very opaque, so I couldn't quite make it out. And he just grabbed it, opened it up. It was a Toga Starburst. I was like, oh, dude,
you're like, that is fast.
Don't point that at me. That thing is fast and venomous. And then, so they had like, yeah, they had some Toga Starburst and they had some OBTs and like, that was it.
Perfect.
They knew nothing about them. They were selling them for like 10 bucks a piece to anybody with 10 bucks. So I'm like, you should be warning people before you just
imagine put that on them. Like now I'm just going to, but then you see, like, I saw there was this one viral TikTok going around and it wasn't even an old world. I think it was something like a curly hair or something. And the person was like unboxing it and it bolted and they just drop it and like knock over the whole enclosure. I'm just like, oh my God, like, we shouldn't do this. Yeah, we shouldn't, the like, it wasn't even a fast tarantula. So imagine like someone opening up their brand new OBT they got for 10 bucks and they're like, wow, let's open it up. And then suddenly the OBT is on the ceiling and threat posing them. And
Yeah.
So that's the downside of things being super available.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating. It seems, I mean, like you're making content for TikTok. I'm making content. A lot of other people are. And it seems it's always the person that's not in the hobby at all, has no experience with tarantulas or invertebrates, and picks one up at a pet store just for the sole purpose of making a TikTok and like freaking out about it. Those are the ones that go viral. Those are the ones that millions of people see. Nothing that's representing the hobby in a good light or educating people. That's seriously, not what goes viral.
Yeah, there was that one that I was talking about where it runs out of the enclosure and they drop everything. And then there's that one where that girl was holding it and it like starts walking and then just bolts and she's like, ah. I'm like, oh God, this is not what we need.
Like, it's so we don't need
this. We don't claim this person. Like
right. And then there's stuff like that that's out there. Millions of people are seeing it. They're making a mint off of that content. I just released a video on top 10 intermediate species. And on that list was the H. gigas and the OBT. And just because of the situation that is around filming tarantulas, you know, I've got a little over here onto my to my left. I've got like a little stage that I kind of built and put them on there. But there's, when you're filming macro photography and you want a really good depth of field, you got to have a pretty high aperture. So, you know, it's not just so shallow. You can only see, you know, like a couple millimeters of its leg in focus. So you need a whole lot of light and those species don't like light, you know, they don't like being a new. So just, I mean, I get them out of the enclosure. I have them in a little deli cup. I safely move them over, you know, very slowly kind of open it up and introduce them, let them sit there for a while. Start slowly turning the lights up and stuff like that. But once the lights are full power and that camera starts moving towards them, they immediately kind of like freak, you know, sometimes the tarantulas will try to run and hide somewhere dark. Other times they'll just immediately throw up a threat pose. So I got some like cool footage of those two specimens, you know, given some pretty upset threat poses, but I mean, it looked cool. It wasn't like I was poking and prodding them and trying to get them upset. It's just bright lights and new environment and a big black camera like moving towards them. And that's just how they reacted. And some guy just was tearing me a new one on Twitter about how terrible I am to my tarantulas. And I'm like upsetting them and getting them to give threat poses for fun. I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about, dude. And
if you're upset about that,
if you're upset about that, there are a lot of people out you could go that are intentionally doing that you can go rip a new one. Like I'm just filming the spiders doing what they're doing. Like if you're upset that I took them out of an enclosure, like then I don't have time to talk to you because now you're just being ridiculous.
Yeah. I saw a girl put, it was either a Brachypelma hamori or a Smithy in her mouth TikTok. And I was just like, first of all, you're just asking for a very itchy mouth. Second of all, why? I'm like, don't put tarantulas in your mouth, guys. Like, just don't do it, you know?
Like, that can't be fun for the person or the spider. Like, I just don't understand it. And with the way CGI is and all these like cool apps, it's like you don't even need to do that anymore. Just download the filter and open your mouth and it'll crawl out.
Like, there is literally a filter that'll do that. And she's like, I better get likes for this. You know, like I had to put a tarantula in my mouth. I'm like,
my least favorite are, and it's not as egregious as those, but It's the people that will have like three or four different specimens on one arm, like kind of hanging onto their arm, or they'll be on the table. And it's like, that could end very badly, very quickly. You've got like a red knee, a curly hair, and a greedy sapphire. Like one of them just gets a little startled, could very easily pounce on one of the other species and just start eating them. Like,
yeah. And then goodbye to your tarantula.
Yeah. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people just, that's like the downside of social media is like, you can post whatever you want. So it's like, you know, those of us that are out here trying to be like, you know, really careful with our animals. And then people will be like, oh, put the tarantula on your face. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, I don't, like, I'm not down for that. Like, cockroach maybe, but.
Right. Oh, I do a lot of like top 10 videos. And for the most part, it's just like, there's no scientific basis to it. It's 100% my opinion. Like, these are the top 10 red tarantulas that I think look the coolest, or, you know, in my experience, these are the most defensive or the most docile, you know. It's like, there's no, you know, there's no scientific method to it at all. It's just my opinion, 100%. And, I did one recently on top 10 venomous spiders in the world. And that one, that needs to have some basis other than just my opinion. And when I'm doing ones like that, you know, I do research. I read some papers, I read other, you know, articles and stuff like that, try to get an idea of what the general consensus is and make a list and, you know, cite some sources and stuff like that, so I can go back and look and things of that nature. But it's also, there's also like that YouTube algorithm kind of like, I don't want to say the same thing that everybody else is saying, you know, you kind of mix it up a little bit, make it interesting and kind of like, you know, a little bit of outrage, like throw a species in there, number 9 or 10, that nobody is going to agree with or something like that. Just so they get upset with you and like, what an idiot. I can't, if he thinks this is number 9, I can't imagine what number 1 is. And then they end up watching the whole video. You know, so
leave a nice comment, which boosts you in the algorithm.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's mainly what it is throw one in there just so people will go into the comments and argue about that one and get that nice little boost. So, like, for the top 10 most defensive tarantulas, I threw in. And I just was 100% lying. Like, it was a species that, in my experience, all of them that I have had and currently have are always really extremely defensive. But like compared to a lot of old world, it was the red rump tarantula, the Tilikala bogans.
Oh, the bogans.
Yeah, mine are always just have a really bad attitude. So I think I threw that in like number 10.
And
people are still on arachnoboards. Like, well, this guy's an idiot because he put a bogans in like his top 10 defensive tarantulas. And it's like, but in my experience, it is one of the most defensive tarantulas in my collection.
Yeah, they're known for being bratty. Yeah. So, yeah.
But, you know, people will see, they can read and they can listen, but they don't always hear. You know what I mean? So it's like, I say defensive and they hear venomous or something like that.
Dangerous.
It's like, well, that one's actually, its venom's pretty weak. I'm like, well, I wasn't talking about venom potency. I was just talking about attitudes.
Talking about it gets like, mad.
It's a bad defensive attitude. But, you know, it's no use arguing with those people, really. But so I did that, and there was some people that just got really upset with, like, my number 10 pick, which was kind of like, it was more just trying to shock people and get them interested and get them to leave those comments. But some of the comments and stuff I got from those are just like, you're a detriment to the hobby. You're an embarrassment. Oh, you're giving us all a bad name. You're, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, look, you can feel that way. That's 100%. But if you're going to spend that time and effort criticizing me, like, there are people out there doing much worse things with tarantulas. You know, they're fighting them. They're, you know, just buying them just to rehouse them and freak out. And, you know, it's like, well, why aren't you on their content? Because they're getting millions of views. Why aren't you, get on your soapbox there? Like, why are you coming after me? I don't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah, that's the world of content. It's like, you can't please everyone, and someone's always going to have a problem. And, you know, it's like, I posted a video about like the best non-venomous, you know, inverts to have, and people are like, well, you should be okay having venomous if you're going to get inverts and da da da. I'm like, I'm just making a list. Like, you can't please everyone all the time, but It's like, it's hard to learn to ignore stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like, I'm very sensitive. So it can be hard. But, you know, you just have to learn to ignore the people who are just haters for no reason. Like, you know, with America's Got Talent, like, if you read the comments on the YouTube videos, they're really nasty. And it's funny because people are like, this girl thought she had this $1 million talent. Who does she think she is? I'm like, I'm like, you take your life way too seriously. You know, like, I think you just need to like relax, take a deep breath, unwind, you know, like clearly you're just a little too like strung and high strung here. You know, if you're that mad that I took cockroaches on television, like just, I'm like, I'm sorry that you're that mad.
And like, in a sense, they were kind of doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Like they were like how I'll throw a tarantula or a random spider in the top 10, like the 10 spot just to kind of get people interested and outraged or, you know, whatever. They were kind of doing that with you. They're like, we got all,
exactly.
We're going to bring it's this like, girl with roaches necessary. On here because it's going to freak people out or upset them or it's going to get them engaged, you know?
Exactly. And a lot of people were engaged. Like I was seeing like Twitter posts because Simon gave me a yes. And people were outraged that Simon gave me a yes because, you know, my act didn't go well. So it's just funny. People are like, oh my God, Simon, I can't believe you gave her a yes. And da-da-da. I'm like, this is what they want. Like, this is
exactly,
this is the goal. And it came true. Like you're doing exactly what was hoped for.
Yeah. So, you're playing right into their hands, giving them free promotion.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, okay, you're just playing into the exact same thing. And like, if you're getting that mad over something so simple, then I don't know, like you need to meditate.
It's definitely something I struggle with because I'm not going to say like I'm sensitive and like it hurts my feelings, but I think some of it's just my ego. And like, I like to be not so much. I always have to be right, but I like to argue, like defend my position or opinion. Yeah. So somebody will say something and instead of just ignoring it and scrolling by, I'm like, well, there's a good reason for that. Blah, 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 blah. And I type out this long response. And then half the time they're like, whoa, dude, like, I didn't mean to upset you. I didn't even think you read these comments. I'm a big fan. I'm very sorry I upset you. And other times they want to argue back with me. And then that kind of like it can just turn into a, just a ridiculous show for, you know, anybody reading the comments. But yeah, at some point I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I arguing with somebody that really doesn't even care? I don't even know who they are. Yeah. But
in a sense, they're just boosting you in the algorithm. So it's funny, like when, especially on TikTok, like when you post something and everyone's like, oh, wow, I want to squish that spider or something, you know, I'll comment back and be like, well, that's really rude that you said that. Like, this is my pet, you know? And then they'll be like, well, it shouldn't be a pet. Like, you're stupid for keeping it as a pet. And I'm like, well, you know, I like it. So to each their own. And that's just boosting the video up in the algorithm. Yeah. Like they're just giving you promotion.
Yeah.
I'm like, keep coming. Like,
right. I think a lot of times the haters don't realize that, like hit that dislike button because it has no effect. all it does boosting. Is YouTube won't recommend that type of content to you, but you disliked it so much that you became engaged with it. And took the time to click a dislike button. So as far as the algorithms, it doesn't care if it's like or dislike. You touch the button on the screen. So it's going to recommend it to other people because that means you are engaged and actually watching. So yeah, it's like leave hate comments, hit that dislike button. It only helps. In the long run, it really only helps.
Tell me I suck. Tell me I'm crazy. Dislike this video. We're all good.
Yeah.
No, I am sensitive though. So low-key, I'm sensitive.
I understand. I can totally understand. And there was once years ago when I first started doing YouTube videos, and I know who it is. I'm not going to call it like bust him out. But he like contacted me later on recently, maybe a year ago, and like said, hey, I'm the one that made that video. I'm sorry. It just thought it was funny at the time. But this is like before we were friends, but it was like he like watched a bunch of my YouTube videos and cut out specific things that I would say and put it all together. And we started sharing it, essentially to make fun of me because I was like repeating myself, like, you know, shouting out a business or just saying the same little intro or something over and over again, kind of like, look how ridiculous this guy is kind of situation. But it's like that actually probably helped my channel more than anything that I was doing. As far as like self-promotion and stuff like that, I could share my videos in every tarantula group, show little clips, you know, beg people to subscribe or come and watch and stuff like that. But they, you know, it's just another voice that's yelling, hey, come watch my YouTube video. You know, it's like,
exactly. You know, yeah, they're not going to do it.
But when he like took these clips and was posting them in these groups and people were laughing and commenting and, you know, reacting to it, it got more and more people saw it and they were like, wow, this guy's video quality is much better than other YouTubers that I've seen. I'm going to go watch his channel and see what he's actually doing. So it's like, you did that to kind of make fun of me and maybe even hurt me, but it actually had the exact opposite effect and was like the best promotion that I could have asked for.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. That's why I went and like commented on the videos of like my AGT performance. Cause I was like, I'm like, if you comment on here, like people would comment, oh, this is terrible. And I'd comment back, be like, oh, that's me. I'm so sorry that you think it's terrible. And then they'll comment back and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were going to see that. Like, I apologize or whatever. And I'm like, cool. So we had an interaction. You changed your mind about me. Like, it was just a win-win-win.
I saw some funny meme. It was somebody had made a comment on Twitter. Maybe it was a YouTube video about John Mayer. Just like, I hate this guy so much. He needs to die or something like that. And he responded back like, wow, I'm so sorry you feel that strongly about me and my music that you want me to die. And they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I never thought you would read this. I'm a huge fan. I love you. Would you send me an autographed picture? It's like, you can just fuck right off. Like, what are you talking about?
No, I will not send you an autographed picture. Oh my God. Yeah.
That's... So when you were doing America's Got Talent, you traveled to LA, you get there. I mean, how many other contestants were like in the green room with you and like, how did they kind of react to the fact you had roaches?
There was so many and it was crazy because people were like rehearsing and like they were doing these amazing dance acts. And like there was, I met some people who were doing like legitimate talents and some people kind of like me who were just more doing like shock value kind of stuff. I met like this amazing violin player. He was dancing and doing violin. I was like, you're incredible. Like, should I even be in the same room as you? But there was a ton of different contestants. There was big groups of dancers, like full dance groups. There was people with like, there was like these showgirls with these huge headpieces. There was dancers doing like flips and doing all these crazy things. There was singers, magicians. There was a magician dressed up as a gorilla. Oh, wow. There was all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. And I was there by myself. So I was just kind of like, oh, like just sitting in the corner with my cockroaches. And it was funny because as like the PAs would like come to get me and stuff, they'd be like, Slightly Venomous, are you here? Okay. And do you have your little friends? And I'm like, yep, they're in this box. But it was funny because like, they didn't actually show it on the show, I don't think, but we filmed little segments where I went around to other acts and showed them what I had. I just showed them the box and they would look inside and be like, oh, you know, so that was really fun. It was fun to see everyone like react to them. Like people were very surprised. People were very, very, they're like, is there like a hamster in there? And I'm like, no. So it was really cool to be like amongst all these super talented people. And I'm just here with cockroaches.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty. And I'm sure I'm not telling you something you don't know, but even though you didn't like get moved on to the next round, you were on a massive platform. You know what I mean? Like, you know, millions of people have seen your act, you know, seen what you do. And even if they're not following you on YouTube or they haven't found you on TikTok yet or something like that, inevitably, or not inevitably, but possibly at some point in the future, they'll be scrolling through TikTok and they'll be like, I recognize that girl. And they'll end up watching and following and stuff like that. But it's even just the fact that you got your name out there. You know what I mean? Exactly. You represented the hobby. You saw it. Maybe this show wasn't, you know, you didn't go on to win America's Got Talent with your cockroaches, but people know, like in the industry now, know that you exist, that you're out there. So if like they need that part for another show coming up or, you know, a sitcom or something like that, they know who to call. Like, oh, there was that girl on America's Got Talent. Let's get her in here.
Exactly. You know? And it was a good experience. It was fun. I made friends. I got to show people like the people who I was hanging out with, even by the end of the time, they were like, oh, wow, well, the cockroaches are fine. Like, And they, you know, people realize, like, I was showing singers and dancers and everything cockroaches, and they're, you know, by the end of seeing them, they're just like, oh yeah, they're fine. And some of the, all the backstage crew people wanted like pictures holding them and stuff like that. So it was like, it was just such a good experience, like not only to take my roaches into like, you know, Hollywood and, you know, put them on the big screen and everything, but just to like, you know, give a little sneak peek of this hobby and like what we do and like who we are. So it was overall, it was just such a good experience for me. And I would do it again.
That's awesome.
If they'll have me next year, I will do it again.
Yeah. It was kind of hard to tell just because they didn't get extremely close with the camera shots, but my feeling was that they were death head cockroaches, but then I was like, they could also just be Madagascar, like hissing cockroaches.
I had a combination.
Like, what were they?
Yeah, I did have a death head. And then I had a normal hisser, and then I had one of the shadow hissers, the black ones, and then I had a Halloween hisser.
Gotcha.
A little variety.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel, I assumed they were all the same. So I was like,
no,
that's a death head. I'm like, well, from this angle, it looks different. It's like,
but yes, I did have a death head because death heads are so cool. But they're fast. So keeping the death head, like hissers are, you know, pretty slow, but the death head was like, he went inside the tube and wouldn't come out. So I just quickly put him away because I'm like, I can't, he's too fast.
Yeah.
Like,
that's probably one of my favorite. It was Arthur Von Ambassadors that sent me They sent me some death heads and some ivory roaches.
Ooh,
I believe. And
yeah.
Yeah. And like I think they sent me another species as well, but it didn't do well for whatever reason. They lived long, but they didn't like start breeding. The death heads were breeding, and the ivories, they just exploded. Like I had to move them out of an enclosure into a big sterilite tub. And I was like, you guys are feeders now. Like I can't, you know, get more of you than I can handle.
But that's like, the good thing about roaches. They're multi-purpose.
Yeah. But like we have this understanding with my wife, like she is cool with all the snakes and the spiders and the scorpions, but like she draws the line at roaches, and mainly it was the red runners because they can become invasive where we live. You know, if one of them were to get out, especially like a pregnant female was to escape and like go somewhere in the garage or into the walls or something, and then we could have a roach infestation in the house. And she really doesn't want roaches or ants, you know, infesting our house. And so it's like she knew that about red runners and a few other species and was just like, across the board, no roaches. And I'm like, well, dubia roaches don't have, like, they need specific conditions that are very much warmer than what we have here. They're not going to be invasive, even if one gets out, you know, but when it dies, it dies. It's not going to be propagating and infesting the entire house. But she was just like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't even want one that, even if it's not going to live longer than its normal lifespan, I don't want to be in the house and see a roach crawl across the floor, like, you know, have a friend or family member over and there's a roach on the wall. And then like, she doesn't want to be embarrassed. And I understand that.
Exactly.
So I was like, all right. So I had roaches for a while as feeders. And then she expressed her concern and we went back and forth. And I was like, you know what? We'll compromise. Like you're really giving me a lot of leeway here with all these other animals. So I will respect this. And then they sent me those roaches. And I was like, technically they're not feeders, so maybe that I can get away with that. And I kept them for a while. And then she would like, you know, every now and then she comes down and hangs out with me down here, or just, you know, comes down by herself and just to enjoy looking at everything. Cause it's kind of like going to the zoo. And she saw the roaches and was like, we talked about it. Like, you told me no more roaches. And I'm like, well, I didn't buy them. They were sent to me. And she's like, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, so yeah, I had those cool ivories and those cool death heads and ended up, they just all became feeders. And it was painful almost. Cause it was like, you know, these are expensive. Like these are some expensive feeders.
There's these roaches on the market now. They're these like holographic green jewel toned roaches, and they're selling for like $50 a roach, a nymph, like for a baby. They're selling for like $50. So. Yeah. So yeah, when people think, I'm like, I'll take an infestation of those. Like imagine a house infested with roaches that cost $50 a piece.
Yeah. I even tried to warm her up to like some of the larger roaches that people keep as pets by showing her those.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I feel about this. I'm going to say I'm not a fan of it, but it's the Have you seen the cockroach jewelry that people make? So it's like,
no.
You have like a big roach. We'll just say death head. I don't know if that's what they actually use, but they'll have the death head and they will get like a safety pin, like a big fancy ornate safety pin, and then a little chain on it. So you would like attach the, you know, the safety pin to like your, the lapel of your jacket, or you're wearing a dress, just somewhere around your heart on your chest or something like that. And then that little chain goes and they super glue it to the back of the beetle or the roach. And then they paint the roach like bright colors and then put like little bedazzled jewels and stuff like that on it, like on the outside. So it's like this like living jewelry. It's like pretty much on a leash, like on a tether, walking around on your chest, and like it matches your outfit. It's like,
oh gosh, maybe if it was like deceased and you like taxidermied it, that would be cool.
No, but these are definitely alive.
No, I don't think so. I would just let them live in their enclosure in peace.
Because like part of me is like, they probably don't really feel like the paint, especially if it's non-toxic, but then at the same time, it's like, I don't know that. Like, that's maybe what I want to feel
them,
like.
Pinned to you, because you know they're pretty reclusive. Like, pretty much all cockroaches would rather be like under a log or like burrowed or something. So to have them like out there all the time and they can't get away, probably not their favorite thing to do.
Right, but I think it comes like from that same trend. Like, I feel like it may have been Korea or Japan. I don't know. I don't know. So I'm not gonna like throw any country under the bus, but I remember seeing these like beta fish or like little tiny red-eared slider babies pretty much making like they were alive, but they would make little keychains out of them. So you'd have like the little fish and this like little tiny
you know,
kind of globe that you connected to your key ring. So it's like it would maybe live for a week or two before it just died because it wasn't getting fed and didn't have access to oxygen. But it's like,
that's sad.
So messed up that you're like selling live animals as a keychain.
that's a little too much.
But you know, people do crazy things. It's
they sure do.
It's like you could complain about it because it's not cool for us in America, but it's like in some of those countries they're eating them. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The world is a wild place. So I, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, just kind of, I know a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I know some people are really interested in TikTok because it's like the new YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of people these days, instead of creating a YouTube channel, they're trying to be like, well, they're placing their bet on TikTok. Like that's going to be the future YouTube or something like that. So like, do you have any insight or, you know, like what's your experience been as far as creating a TikTok account and getting followers and stuff like that, doing invertebrate content?
Yeah, TikTok is actually really good for natural organic growth. I feel like there's definitely a higher chance of having a viral video on TikTok, you know, and there's the algorithm. Once you get a video grabbed by that algorithm, you're golden. Like I have a video that of a little Jerusalem cricket of me saying like, oh my gosh, this bug is so crazy. Check it out. And it's just a Jerusalem cricket, but they, you know, they look a little crazy. And that one got like 2 million views. And it's like on YouTube, your chances of, or Instagram, you know, your chances of getting just getting 2 million views instantly is like unheard of. So there's really good opportunity for organic growth on TikTok. Also on TikTok, you can be more casual. Like I had said earlier, you have, sometimes I swear, like I'll just take the most random little video and I won't even like hashtag it.
Yeah.
And that video gets 100,000. Oh, it's just, it's very, so I would recommend it if you want a place to start. I would say just do a TikTok is a good place to start because you don't have to have that high production value. You can do clips of you talking, just clips of your stuff. I think if you're wanting to break into making invert content, I think that's a great place to start. And I would encourage anyone who's interested to look into starting a TikTok and just start posting, because it's like nothing's ever going to be perfect. And the more time you spend just wishing that you could do it, wishing that, you know, oh, I really want to do it. Just do it. Just get out there. Just put your face out there. Put your name out there. And just go for it, because it's like, you really never know what's going to happen. And there's a whole community of people who who will support you and help you. And I think TikTok is a great place to start. So if you're thinking about doing it, do it.
Yeah. Best way to learn is to do.
Yeah. I say, just go for it.
Yeah. And the cool thing about starting on TikTok is that, like you said, it's much more casual. You don't have to have the high production value. So you can just use your cell phone. Exactly. But in doing so, you're going to learn about like how best to light yourself, how to edit short videos. You're going to learn all the skills that you need to be making long form content on YouTube, but it just vertical instead of horizontal. And
exactly.
Yeah. The stakes aren't as high. You know, you can.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have a flop, it's fine. Just, you know, focus on the next one and you never know. And if something takes off really well and like, you know, wow, people really like when I talk about scorpions, you know, then maybe you have some information that you can go and then translate over to other platforms. And, you know, you can use, once you have established TikTok, you know, you can use that to link people over to your other platforms as well. Like you had said in the beginning, just making everything cohesive so that, you know, if they find you on one platform, it flows to another. And with TikTok, there is also the Creator Fund, which you're not going to get rich off of, but you can definitely make a little extra side cash, you know, a little extra money to feed all the animals. So, you know, it's like everything counts, like every penny counts and every view counts. So you can definitely make a little bit on TikTok. It's worth it. And you can get live, you can go live over there, which I like. Yeah. I do love to do the lives. It's really fun. And just kind of like play around.
When I do the lives, I tried to do it 3 or 4 times and I kept getting shut down. I was just like,
really?
But I would like, I'd be fine as long as I was talking. And then as soon as I walked over to an enclosure and showed a live animal, it'd kick me off and like ban me for 72 hours. Huh. Yeah.
I wonder why.
I mean, this was maybe a year or two ago. So maybe they like changed it, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I've
like,
been okay.
I'm in the Creator Fund and right now my estimated balance is $12.55. I make money.
It happens. It's like, yeah, I know. I cashed out like from the past month, I cashed out like $50. Yeah. But I'm like, I used that $50 and I bought animals to make content with. And I'm like, that's $50 I wouldn't have had. So
exactly.
You know, yeah. I'm grateful for it. I appreciate it. It's just an extra little incentive to create your content. So
yeah. Yeah, somebody was talking to me at an expo or something like that, and you know, kept saying like, "Oh man, you're awesome. You're one of the biggest tarantula creators on YouTube. Like, you're a big deal." And I'm like, "I'm not, because there are people out there that are making TikToks about tarantulas that have more views on one 30-second TikTok than I do on all the videos on my channel combined." You know what I mean? Like, they're getting tens of millions of views on some of these videos, and sometimes millions of views. It's like, I'm not getting millions of views. I think that my highest viewed video on YouTube, maybe like right around 500,000, you know, it's like, it's not the same. Like it's a whole different, it's a different type of content and a different audience, but you can do a lot more. It seems like you can reach a lot further on TikTok.
Yes, there is a really good reach. It's definitely, there's the opportunity is there to reach way more than you could reach on any other platform. Like, I feel like Instagram is just so hard these days. Like with Instagram, it's like, kind of forget it. Like I just use Instagram for my own kind of like enjoyment, because getting Instagram famous at this point is just impossible practically. Yeah. But with the TikTok, it's just, if your consistency is key. I notice when I'm very consistent, the algorithm picks that up. The algorithm, what I like about it is that it does kind of reward things like being consistent, for uploading regularly, for following the guidelines, for, you know, using a variety of hashtags and, you know, branching out and doing different things. I notice when I make educational things, they tend to go pretty well. So, so I think that's pretty nice. I recommend just doing those short little snippet videos and just really trying to get out of your head when it comes to TikTok, because it's like the people you're reaching, they just want to see a short little thing. So I think it's definitely, it's worth it. It's worth it, I think.
Yeah. Back in January, I recorded a bunch of videos for TikTok and, you know, used my cinema camera and a fancy lens and filmed it, you know, vertically. So it was kind of in that, you know, already set up that way. Uh-huh. And they were just like short 30, 60 second videos that were just educational. Like, did you know this about a tarantula, or this is how you take care of the species or something like that. And I was like, man, these are really good. At least they look really good visually. And the information is there. Hopefully these will go. And they didn't do well at all. And I was like really frustrated. But I think I still got the scripts. So I think I'm going to like re-record them just holding my cell phone and see if they do a lot better.
I think as an experiment, just do it. Just
Like exactly. And word for word. Exactly the same. Yeah. Just using a cell phone.
Using sounds too will help. Like using like popular sounds.
What do you mean? Like music?
So like the audio. So there's like different audios. Like it'll be things as such as like a song. It could be a song, or it could just be like someone had said something funny and then people like lip sync it and say it and do their own thing and tie it into their niche. And that just kind of like really enhances your reach. Like for example, there was one that I used recently that it's just like a typing noise. It's like, and it's like people will be like, oh, looking up how to da 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 and like say something funny. And I filmed my roach and it was just the sound and it's the roach. And I put looking up how to be less gross for all the people who say they're gross. And that like did really well. So it's like, I just simply use like the little, like the little typing sound, like the roach is like looking up how to be less gross. And that one did really well. Like one of my best videos on there, I had a little silk moss and I held my hand and I held down the little finger. And then I just like the little song played and I popped up the finger with the little moth on it. Like I was just like this. And then I went boop. And that one got a million views.
Wow. That's so wild.
That's so very cool. Just gotta just do stuff. You just gotta, cause you literally, like you had said earlier, you never know, like something like literally just holding a little moth on your finger.
Yeah.
A million views. And that'll give you like $20. So, you know, it's $20 in your pocket and a million people that saw your content. So it's like, you never, never, never know what's going to be popular. You just have to be consistent and just, you know, keep trying. Like, don't give up if something doesn't go well. Cause I've had times when like, I made one that I thought was so funny where like I had my big fat Pac-Man frog.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like this big old frog. And he's like this little fat guy. And I like made this video like where he like bit me and I turned into a frog girl. And like, I thought it was so funny and it got like 100 views. And I was like, I thought it was so funny because I was doing like the whole like Spider-Man thing where he gets bit by a spider, but I like, got bit by this big fat frog and like turned into like this frog girl. But no one thought it was funny.
Yeah, it just didn't hit. I understand.
It didn't. Yeah. So it's just like, you just have to keep trying because you might think something is like, you know, going, it's going to be great and it flops. And then the next thing you upload might be the thing that takes off. So it's just, you know, consistency. It's just like being, you know, okay with thing with failure. With content creation, you have to be okay with failure or else like, you know, it's going to be really hard.
Very true. Yeah. Tarantula Cat does some pretty good TikToks and she's always getting on me. Like you should really focus on that a little bit more and try these things. And she does a lot of like the lip syncing to like, you know, quotes from like, you know, sound bites from movies or songs or something like that. She's like lip syncing to it or, you know, whatever. And, you know, showing her pets and stuff. And I struggle doing that just because I feel ridiculous. Like,
exactly.
Like, I feel like I'm too old to be doing this.
You just have to become shameless. Just put that aside and just lip sync to some, you know, some funny things and throw some tarantulas in there. It's like, it's just, it's a good time. And you can duet people too. So like you could go to like one of Kat's videos that's doing really well and then just like do the same thing next to her, or you can react to her. Like you could even be like looking at her, like being like, oh my God, like that's crazy, you know?
I'll just start piggying back off of her successful videos.
Yeah, you should do that. That would be so funny. Oh my God. Just don't even tell her. Don't tell her the plan and then just go and just duet her videos and make that your whole channel. You're just duetting all her stuff and you're just like, oh yeah.
Like I'll just turn my TikTok into reacting to other invertebrate creators' TikToks.
Yes, you could. You could. And then
that would be funny.
Yeah, that's what's fun too. It's like you can interact with people that way. Yeah. Like So that's fun. Like I've made some where it's like people will be, you know, doing the things where they're holding them badly and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is what you shouldn't do, guys. Don't do this. Or like,
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity. So I think you should do it. I think you should definitely do it, Kat, and see what happens.
I will. It'll probably upset her. She'll be like, quit it.
She's like, wait, why are you doing this? What happened? I didn't get the message.
And part of it is just the ROI, the return on investment. You know, it feels like, you know, because I do a lot of cross posting, right? So I'll make a TikTok essentially, you know, I'll film it, I'll edit it, I'll, you know, I'll upload it to Instagram Reels and TikTok at the exact same time, you know, like seconds apart from each other. I'll get, you know, 20,000 views on Instagram Reels. I'll get like 2,000 views or something like that on TikTok, or sometimes a few hundred views, you know, it doesn't kind of hit the algorithm the same way and get pushed out to other
that's
conscience.
Why you have to have the consistency.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, like I look at how many views does a TikTok have to get, you know, to make, you know, $10 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
probably like 500,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but, and then on Instagram, I only need like 20,000 views or 50,000 views and I make $10 or $20, you know, or, and YouTube's even better as far as like what they're paying creators. So it's like my effort's going to go to the platform that's paying me the most, to be honest. You know, it's like TikTok is, and the thing with Instagram is like, it's not fully monetized yet. So it's like, there's a lot of, most people aren't getting paid for Instagram Reels, but like they kind of go to some people are like, get into this, you know, we're beta testing this new, whatever it is, the Reels Creator Fund, or I don't know what, even what it's called. But yeah, it's like, so your first $100, you could, it's really easy to make $100, you know, when, if they invite you to do that. I think you only need maybe like 50,000 views, and you can do as many reels a day. It's cumulative, you know, it's like, well, you have 5,000 of these views are bonus eligible, and, you know, so it adds up. But then when you hit that $100 kind of, you know, milestone, then the amount they pay you per view drops significantly. Oh, so now you need like five times as many views to get to 200. And then five times as many as that to get to 300. And like, they'll say like, we'll pay you up to $8,000, but it's like, you got to have 20 million views to get $8,000, but only like 50,000 views to get 100. So it's like, I'm consistently making $100 a month on Instagram.
Hey, it's something. I'm actually not monetized on Instagram myself, so I don't make anything. But I just did. I just uploaded my first YouTube Shorts today. I've never done the YouTube Shorts before, so we'll see if they take me into the YouTube Shorts Creator Fund thing. They have like they're like, we'll pay you up to $10,000 a month. I'm like,
doubt it.
Like, what do I have to do for that?
It was frustrating because like November and December, I kept getting emails for both my channels saying like, you're in the YouTube Shorts Creator Fund. So get this many views and we'll start, you know, we'll start paying you a little bit. Or I don't even think it was that. It was like, you know, they just kind of like, well, we have this much money and all these people are in the fund and we'll divvy it out based on views or something like that. And I did not make, maybe I made like $10 or something on that. And then January, I was like, I'm focusing, I'm taking a break off YouTube and I'm just going to focus on creating Reels, TikToks, and YouTube Shorts. And I was posting like every day, sometimes multiple times a day with short content, and didn't, you know, wasn't in the creator fund on YouTube at all. And a couple of those videos did really well. I got like hundreds of thousands of views, and it's like,
oh wow,
I got like 500,000 views on this short and I didn't make a penny. That's so freaking frustrating.
Yeah, that's like, I would love to be a full-time content creator, but right now it's like so far out of my cards to think about. But you know, it's like, that's why every little bit counts. And I have my regular job, which I'm working in retail until I go crazy and quit.
Take the leap and go full-time content creation. And the crazy thing is, you can make a video tomorrow that just blows up and all of a sudden you've got tons of followers and can afford to do that. You know, it's weird how that works.
That's why I'm just trying to remain consistent. I'm staying positive. I'm just happy, grateful for everything that I have. I'm grateful for every opportunity. Like, I mean, look at me. I'm on this podcast right now. Like, how cool is that? Like, this is literally like, it's crazy for me. It's like full circle, because I watched you from like when I first came into the hobby, and now I'm like being interviewed by you on your podcast. Like, it's so cool. It's just like, wow, you know, like, I'm so grateful for everything that's happening.
Well, it's nice of you to say, because I feel anytime somebody's willing to come on the podcast, like, I feel like I'm the lucky one. Like, thank you
really
for being willing to do this, because I ask people all the time, and I get many more no's than I get yeses.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know how it took me almost a year to get Nate on the podcast? Like when we first stood up, I was like, come on, man. He's like, yeah, I just can't do it, man. Like, I'm nervous. I don't want to be on camera. And I'm like, we'll do it without video. We'll just do audio. He's like, I don't know, man. That's just a lot, you know. It's not everybody is into that, you know. So yeah. I ask a lot of people, and they're like, yeah, maybe one day. Not today.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got him on there. Nate's great. I just like,
yeah,
I'm lucky he lives close to me. So we get to hang out in person, and we went to the Renaissance Fair. That was so fun. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he's super cool. Him and his wife, Natasha, she actually made this necklace I'm wearing. It has a molt in it, a tarantula molt.
Oh yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a tarantula molt.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, we can totally see that. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
his wife made that. Her Instagram is spell components.
Okay.
So like a spell, like casting a spell and like components, like pieces of that. So you can buy her jewelry too. So
awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody noticed it, but on the video version of the podcast with Nate, like when we were setting up the cameras and checking the audio levels and stuff like that, as soon as right after we had started recording, he was having some issues with his audio, and she came in and was kind of helping him, like, you know, change some settings and stuff like that. So like, I don't think she said anything. Maybe she said like a few words, but like she was on the camera and while he was talking and back and forth. So like, I used that clip at the very end of the podcast, like after the outro, usually there's like a little outtake, and I put that on there. I was like, but he never said anything, so I don't think they actually watched all the way to the end and saw her on there. But I was like, one day she's going to be like, why the hell was I on the podcast? Like, I didn't want to be on.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was kind of, but it's fun. It's fun doing this podcast because you get, I mean, we talked to Coyote Peterson. We talked to Brian Barczyk, talked to Dr. Linda Rayer from Cornell University. But then I also get to talk to like Tarantula Cad and you and Alex from Tarantula Haven. And, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's a cool mix of people that are willing to come on. And yeah, some people nobody's ever heard of. And some of like next week, I'm not saying nobody's ever heard of her, but this is just an example of like the, you know, you go from people with millions of subscribers, like Brian Barczyk and Coyote Peterson. Next week, I'm interviewing a tattoo artist. And she also does TikTok and, you know, just social media content. But yeah, like she does some amazing tarantula tattoos. And
ooh.
Rachel. Crap, I just forgot her last name because my mind's doing three different things.
Here's my
at
tarantula
once.
Tattoo.
Here, let me put you on full screen so people can see that. Nice.
I've got a scorpion.
Very
cool. I have
cool.
a cockroach on my leg. I have a really cool cockroach. Let's see if I can show you.
Okay. For those listening to the podcast, she is putting her leg up. There's a cockroach and a bee.
Yeah, if you're listening in, I just showed my cockroach tattoo on my leg. So just imagine it with your brain. It's very colorful. There's like a pink background.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute.
So it's the next guest is Rachel Marie. Are you familiar with
her?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not. No, I'll have to look her up.
Oh yeah, you totally should. She does some I think she's right around 200,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. And she does a lot of invert content. But you know, it was like, so that was part of the reason I wanted to talk to her, but also because she's a tattoo artist and does some, just seen some of her photos on Facebook and an Instagram of some of her work. And it's like, it's very realistic tarantula tattoo that you're
wow.
doing.
Oh, I have to look at that.
Yeah. And she doesn't live too far from me. I think she's just a couple hours away. So
ooh, you gotta go. You better get there.
I'm going to have her on the podcast. I'm going to talk to her and see if I can manipulate the situation to where she'll give me a free tarantula tattoo.
Perfect. There you go.
We'll do it as cross promotion. Deducted off your taxes.
Exactly.
I haven't gotten a tattoo in probably 20 years.
Oh yeah. I just got tattooed yesterday.
Yeah. It's looking pretty bright.
I'm in pain.
It looks good. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're out there in San Diego. Is that correct?
Yes,
can I say that?
That's okay. Right.
Yeah. So not too far from LA. Do you ever go do you ever do what Nate does and like, you know, go out into the wilderness and look for invertebrates like in the desert or braving the coyotes? No.
Not stay away? Really. I don't really go out in the wilderness. I'm too accident prone. I feel like something would happen to me out there, but I'm always looking for stuff like in the yard. And as I go for walks around, I'm always like, I'll find cool beetles, or like, I love to plant. Like I have like my poppies for the bumblebees in the backyard. Yeah. And I planted some milkweed for the butterflies. So nice. I like the natural diversity. San Diego's like, it's desert. So we have a lot of, we have a lot of diversity here.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost went to college in San Diego. Like when I was applying to schools, that was like one of the first places I got accepted. But I looked at how much it cost to live there and was like, there's no way I can afford that. So I imagine.
Hence why becoming a content creator is kind of hard.
Yeah. Because I'm sure, I mean, I was debating, like, I could stay in my hometown, which was Huntington, West Virginia, and go to Marshall University, where I, at the time, I was renting an apartment. It was like it was a crappy apartment at that, you know, but it was like a one bedroom garage apartment, an apartment above a garage. It was dilapidated. The garage itself downstairs didn't even have a concrete floor. It was like dirt floor, you know? So if it rained, I could smell wet earth coming through the entire apartment, but it was like $200 a month. It was so cheap, you know? So it was
Wow. Yeah,
and then tuition was like $1,200 a semester for in-state tuition, in-state in town. And then I was looking at San Diego State or something like that. And it was, you know, I was like, the studio apartment was $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And like tuition was like 20 grand a year or something. I was like, that's like 10 times, you know, anything that I have to pay at the moment. So I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. I feel that.
So yeah, it kind of turned me off to ever living in California.
So. Yeah. I understand.
But like, even now, I probably mentioned this, but West Virginia is a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place to live. There's tons of nature, tons of cool stuff to do. And like, my mortgage is $350 a month. I mean, it's like, I have an entire house and that's how I don't have to pay more than that. It's like, I remember living in Daytona. I was paying like right around a grand for a one bedroom apartment. And it's like, for that, I could own two houses in West Virginia. But actually, I did a podcast with DC CB Exotics. He's based out of Vermont, New Hampshire, one of those.
Okay.
I think it was, I don't remember, New England. He's up north. And he was thinking of moving to like North Carolina or Virginia or something like that. And I was telling him about West. I was like, man, you should come to West Virginia. Like, the housing's cheap. And there's a lot of it, a lot available, because everybody's moving out of state. And that's like, if you're looking for metropolitan life, this is not the place for you, you know, but if you're just looking for space and low cost, this would be great. And he actually hit me up the other day and was like, actually, we're thinking about moving to West Virginia. Can you give me some
I know, good maybe I'll come in too.
I was like, heck yeah. So I was suggesting places that were kind of neat, like within driving distance of for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I can always go visit and hang out.
He's
like
a cool guy. Just got a bring good everyone mixture. Out there.
Yeah. we'll turn West Virginia into a tarantula haven.
Yeah. Well,
we've got some cool tarantula dealers out here, like tie-dyed tarantula. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're they're not close to me. Like, I'm in northern West Virginia near Pittsburgh, and they're like southern West Virginia. What would that be near? Like near the Virginia line, like to the state of Virginia and West Virginia, where it kind of splits. But so, I mean, it's like a 5-6 hour drive for me, but you know, it's still within the state, but they have a cool brick and mortar shop, and it's like a two stores in one. So they're selling tie dyes, and they're also like tie dyed shirts and blankets. And you know, they do all kinds of really cool tie dyed. And then the back room is all tarantulas.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, it's cool that a small business like that, that's so niche, you know, like, how many people out there are actively searching for tarantulas or for tie dyes? And then they're in West Virginia, which is one of the smallest states.
They're ready for either one.
And they're in like Princeton, which is like one of the smaller towns. So they're like a small town in a small state with a small niche, and they're doing well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they just moved to a new location, bigger location. So it's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's like the community supports them. So, you know, and they do online sales and stuff as well, but it's cool. It's awesome. I enjoy living here. I've lived all over the country, and I always end up coming back to West Virginia. And then like, sometimes regret it. Like, you know, you miss, like, there's no good Vietnamese restaurants around here, but I do enjoy my Thai and my Vietnamese.
I love Thai.
You know, it's Yeah, but you sacrifice that, and but I can, like, you know, like, I go on vacation a lot, or I say vacation, but, like, essentially my wife and I are, like, we're going to the mountains for the weekend. It's like, we're going somewhere where there's no cell surface. It's like, rent a cabin and go out by the lake and just to hang out in nature and relax and kind of unplug, which is nice. Very important. And it's so easy to do. You know, it's not like I got to drive 10 hours to go to the lake. It's like
here, it's like pretty hard to get away.
Yeah. I mean, I could almost drive any direction and within an hour, I would have a bar of service. You know, it's like,
oh gosh.
It's
kinda nice. Yeah, no, not here.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, California is crazy. I remember we went out
it
there.
It is.
It was like, oh, we got so lost and so turned around. And I remember at one point I was like, I'm not exactly sure where we are. I'm following the GPS in this rented car. And then I see a billboard that said something like Compton's best liquor store, something like that. I'm like, gosh. Oh crap.
Yeah, you're like, turn around.
I listen to NWA and Snoop Dogg. I know what's happening here.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny. No, it was Compton's best trial lawyer or something like that. It was like this weird billboard. And I'm like, yeah, there's bars on all the windows. I was like, I don't know. Kate's like, just go. You're fine. It was funny. But yeah, you don't have that so much in West Virginia. It's like,
oh gosh.
Yeah. But it's, you know, whatever. It's different. it definitely has its downsides, that's for sure. But yeah, so you're I'm not going to ask how old you are, but what?
I'm 29.
Okay.
Just turned 29.
I was trying to avoid being rude. What my question was, like, leading to was, like, do you have a background, like an educational background in invertebrates, or like what was your path? Like, you were like, you know, you're a kid, you're graduating your high school, you're like, I'm gonna go to school, or I'm gonna go learn this trade, or I'm gonna go work at this business. Like, you kind of have like a trajectory that you see your life going. Like, what was that trajectory, and was it invertebrates, or like how did that kind of coalesce?
Yeah, no, for me it was really acting. I was trying to pursue acting. I went to performing arts school in middle school and high school, and then I moved up to LA to pursue acting, but it's really hard and it didn't really end up working out. So I ended up working in a hair salon and then in a restaurant, and then I ended up coming back to San Diego for when COVID happened. Everything kind of fell apart, and so I'm back here still doing a little acting, but acting was the goal.
I could totally see you as an actress. That would that just seems to really fit your fun. Personality. And you're, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I love it. I do love it, but it's just it's really hard, and you have to like want to eat, sleep, and breathe it to be successful. And I kind of like don't. Yeah. So I'm more focused on my content creation, but I still do a little bit of it here and there, and I still love it. It's fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I tried a little bit of acting when I was in high school, middle school and high school, but it was not, I never had the passion to be an actor or to perform in that manner. It was more of a, it was the same reason I learned to play the guitar. Like, I just had a real hard time talking to people and meeting girls. And it's like, I learned to play guitar, and you're like the white guy with the guitars in the hallway of the school singing, you know, Matchbox 20 songs or whatever. Yeah, girls were like swooning. Play a little bit of Dave Matthews or Jack Johnson at a party, and they're like, oh, I like this guy. And I didn't have to like break the ice and talk to anyone. Like, it would make them approach me and talk to me. And it was a similar thing with, like, I was always in music, you know, I was in band and symphony and all that kind of stuff, and had a crush on this girl, and she was in show choir, and was like, you should, we need guys in show choir. You should try out. And I was like, I don't like to sing and dance. Like, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, well, I'm going to be in it. And so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's like, you know, these girls that I liked. So I was like, me and my buddy were like, okay, like, they're saying there's no guys, and we're going to be going on these massive long bus trips and stuff to competitions. Like, we're going to spend a lot of time, and there's costume changes. So it's like in the middle of the performance, you run behind the bleachers or whatever, behind the set, and quickly disrobe and put on new clothes. I was like, we'll get to see them in their underwear. Like, let's be in show choir.
Oh my God.
And then from that, some of them were like, well, we're going to be in this play and we need some guys to audition. You should. So like, I was in musicals and stuff in high school. But it wasn't because I had a love for the theater. It was, I just like girls, and that was like a way to be around girls. As shameless
it is
as
a woman dominated thing.
Yeah. I didn't mean to insult you there. I'm sorry.
My phone is starting to die, so I might have to take off soon.
Yeah. Well, we need to wrap it up anyways, because we are at the 2-hour mark.
I'm ready for some lunch.
And I have offended you. So I apologize.
No.
I say hair people in hair are trouble, and you're like, well, my phone's dying. It's been nice talking to you.
No, I was a receptionist, so I only had to answer the phone. So I wasn't really in hair. And also, okay. I am trouble, so it's all good.
I mean, you have red hair. How can you not be trouble?
That's exactly. And I shaved my head. So.
Yeah, what was that? I didn't want to bring that up unless you did. Because like you had this beautiful long red hair. And then one day you posted, I think it was on Instagram, something like, I cut my hair. I shaved my head.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm just going to leave it at that or something along those lines. And I was like, wow. So what brought that on? Why'd you decide to do that?
Well, I just wanted to get rid of, like, you know, the beautiful hair didn't look so beautiful in person. It was pretty like dried up and crusty. So I wanted my natural hair color back and I wanted to stop dyeing my hair. I'm really low maintenance. Like I don't really do makeup. I put makeup on for this, but I don't normally like do makeup or anything and don't do hair. But I wanted to just kind of go ahead and start fresh.
Yeah.
And I just thought like I've always wanted to shave my head because how cool is that? I can say I shaved my head. It's just something I can have forever, like just a memory.
How cool is that? Huh?
It's so cool. But yeah. So
I just took my hat off and showed her my bald head.
So I have some hair back now. It's been like 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So I have some hair.
Yeah.
But
kind of got that pixie thing.
I don't know.
Going.
I just wanted to do it.
Right on.
And I'm really happy I did. It just is so like liberating to not feel like you are attached to your hair and like you need hair and all
Oh,
that.
Yeah. I 100% I'm with you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a choice. It just started falling out when like my junior year of high school. It's like, I'm losing my hair. Now
we don't need hair. Yeah. It's like, it's just society tells us we need like long, luscious hair, but it's like, no. And the hair, mine will grow back and I'll have pretty hair again. But, I realize all the people that were like, oh, why'd you shave your head? Like you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, well, I don't like you.
Right. Yeah. I think it looks cool. So don't hate me.
Thank you.
But
oh,
I remember at my wedding, my best man was, I got my hair cut. And he was like, dude, you just got to let it go. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just quit. Just shave your head. Like, you're more bald than you are. Like, you're getting ripped off with these haircuts and you look ridiculous. Just start shaving it. And I'm like, no, I still have it. It's like, from my perspective, you don't. So from that moment on, like after the wedding, I was like, all right, we're just going to be shaving it now.
It's like,
but it is low maintenance. Yeah,
exactly. And it doesn't change who you are as a person. And
I do have to worry about sunburns on the top of my head now, though. That was not something I ever worried about.
Head sunburns are the worst.
Yeah. They are. Well, this has been a lot of fun. It's been awesome talking
so
to
much
you.
Fun.
And thank you so much. And thanks for
thank
filling us
so
in
much.
About everything that happened on America's Got Talent.
It was so fun. Thank you so much for having me. I should have charged my phone, but I guess it just used a lot of battery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sucks them dry because you're using Wi-Fi and video and audio and everything. And I don't want us to get caught off here, but just so everybody can follow you on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube, all Slightly Venomous. So just type in Slightly Venomous. You will find her. There will be links to all of her social media down below in the show notes. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, that'll be in the description. So just click show more underneath the video. You'll have access to all of her stuff. So follow, like, watch all that cool stuff. Show some support to Slightly Venomous.
Thank you.
Great representative to the hobbies. Thank you so much for, you know, for even going on America's Got Talent and being a good ambassador for what we are trying to do here. That was very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. I had such a good time and I've just everything I've gained and I just appreciate everything.
Awesome. Well, it's awesome to hear gratitude and humility from a content creator. So you are awesome in my book. So thank you so much. And thank you to everybody that's listening. If you are on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give us that 5-star review. Follow if you're on Spotify or whatever platform you're on. Like, follow, review, and subscribe or whatever that is. We really appreciate it. And all your links to everything down below in the show notes. And I will see you all next week with a brand new episode of the Exotic Pet Collective with Rachel Marie, tattoo artist, for the tarantula people. I guess that's probably not how she would want to be introduced. But anyways, thank you all so much, and we will see you next time. Goodbye. You good?
I'm good.
All right, cool.
So fun. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
I guess, yeah, it just sucked a lot of battery. I just got the notification for 5%.
So oh, geez. We're
perfect.
We really pushed it. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. And
yes, I'm going to go charge my phone.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you soon. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.